Tomorrow's News Today.
March 3rd, 2026. This is an emergency broadcast. We are in a planetary emergency. I was a minute late sliding into my chair because so much new stuff was coming out right as I was going on. The developments are so dangerous, so momentous, it is hard for me to even know where to begin. There are so many layers to this, and I think it's very important, especially for new listeners and viewers, to understand that I will watermark this broadcast verbally every 5 minutes or so explaining that my view is this, and I was against this war. But then I will walk through the Iranians' perspective, the Chinese perspective, the Arab, the Israeli. That's what I do. And what a lot of corporate media and others do is they pick little pieces out of the show and claim this is what Jones thinks. When I'm giving an Israeli perspective or an Iranian perspective or a Chinese perspective, and that's part of the clickbait mental illness that's even more dangerous than AI deepfakes. And it's really one of the tactics that's flooding the internet with so much confusion. It's not just done to me. It's done all over the place. An example. You'll see a headline where it says, Trump says he can destroy any country he wants. And then the actual quote is, under the law, I can destroy any country I want with 100% embargo economically, but I don't want to do that. I just want a fair deal, but they say I can't put a dollar tariff on them. That doesn't make sense. So that's the total opposite of what they said he said. And I'm just throwing that out there at the start because I'm sitting back about to say what I'm about to say and cover all these different perspectives and the different layers to this. Because that's how we get intelligence. That's how we get smart, is wide spectrum understanding. We have gotten in the position of being so dumbed down, and a lot of people don't even have basic political, cultural, historical depth of any type. They're not even an inch deep. And everything just gets chopped into little mindless blurbs. But here's the bottom line. So I'm going to give you the bottom line of why Trump's doing this and why he thinks it's the right thing to do. And that is not an endorsement of it. Just said it again. And then I'm going to get into the Iranians and their plan to fight to the absolute death. And the Strait of Hormuz being closed, China in total panic mode, the markets panicking. They tried to meet their Supreme Council again to elect from the Council of 12 a ringwraith to be the new Sauron, and they killed them today. And why we're told by the Pentagon, oh, we're just taking out their weapons, then Trump's like, no, it's regime change, and so much more. But as I predicted, this had a very good chance of going sideways. It has, and now it's about to go over a cliff. We're in deep shit. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Just a fight, obliteration, no one cares anymore. The Messiah or mass murderer, no controlling who comes through the door. A culture made of cover-ups, will leprosy touch their flesh? For backroom meetings and rendezvous, the vultures have come home to nest. The clock runs out, the weak is late. A deadly strike, the threat is real.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026 broadcast. Iran war triggers planetary crisis. Strait of Hormuz closure rocks global markets. China panics as conflict brings major powers into the war. France has sent its aircraft carrier. The Brits are sending theirs. It's going down. Plus, U.S. special ops are on the ground in Iran as Trump floats ground invasion. And you notice over the weekend, Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater, said, I really can't believe they actually did this against the Pentagon's advice. And then Sunday he said, next, Trump's going to start being told we need troops on the ground. And when I posted that yesterday and you said, this, you know, this is our line in the sand, I noticed all the white pill worship, whatever Susie Weil says, fake Trump supporters that just, you know, Johnny Come Lately, lightweights, are like, troops are already there. There's already special ops there. Yeah, we're talking about ground invasion. We know that. These mental midgets will always create a fake straw man debate and say, we don't know what we're talking about. It's you that don't know what you're talking about. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff had his officers come out and have cautionary reports in the media. I confirmed that. Eric Prince and many others have come out and warned folks about the real pitfalls and the probability of global destabilization and big problems. And then the Pentagon, you know, gets its orders to go along with it. And they say, to clarify, we showed the downs and the ups, but we showed the serious problems, but also great potential. My point is that I am talking to the people at the Pentagon, and so are others at the highest levels, and they were against this because it's a roll of the dice, and it causes all sorts of cascading events that are extremely hard to predict. And yes, the Pentagon has done an incredible job on the mission. I mean, yes, individually, the military's done a great job. We're not, that's a separate issue. Spectacular. Sends a very strong message to China and Russia and others. And that's part of this, but that's part of the calculus. The point is, those of us saying this was very dangerous and a roll of the dice, and it's looking like it's going really sideways and maybe over the edge of a cliff, and I'm got a big pucker factor here. I don't want it to get really bad so I can go, look, I was right again. But I know how these things unfold. We're not traitors and we're not Democrats when we, as smart individuals that built the missile gantry that Trump launched from, that built the SpaceX platform for him, we're not a Democrat cult. We're informed, and we will have our voices heard. And you want our voices heard, or the Israeli voices and the neocon voices that want total war, Middle East-wide, including war with Turkey, are going to have their way, and they're all thinking one-dimensionally and are out of their minds. We're going to go to Trump being asked about oil prices in a moment. But let me throw out the different pieces of this, okay? Now, remember, when this all kicked off in June last year, 9 months ago, I said this is about regime change. This is about getting the camel's nose on the tent flap. This is about sleepwalking into full war. That's what the real policy is regime change. And Israel and the U.S. are trying to overthrow the mullahs. And they had four or five big uprisings they financed since then that failed. And then Trump says, oh, they've got missiles. Now we've got to take out their military that can deliver nukes, which I told you they would do. And that's really cover for regime change. And now they kill the Ayatollah and a bunch of the military command. As you know, in the first strike at 2 a.m. Texas time, Saturday morning. And then they had the Ayatollahs and you know, the Council of 12 and a bunch of their leadership meeting again in another bunker. And the Pentagon believes all in there were basically killed. That's another Israeli strike today. And they're not going to give up. And as you go down the ranks, in the IRC and the rest of it, they even get more psychotic and are more dug in. Then you have the Strait of Hormuz that is closed, sunken ships in it, but not fully blocked, but closed because the insurance companies won't let any ships go through because they get attacked, they get sunk. So effectively, they have closed it without having to physically close it by sinking a couple oil tankers in it. And a few more, it'll be blocked physically. And then we're going to have to, quote, send in ground troops to, quote, control the other side of the beach so that they can send in the big dredges and stuff to haul them out. And see, that's there'll be mounting pressure. Oh, the U.S. has to go in, has to open it. You see how, and then you have the next piece, the next piece, the next piece. And then those troops are going to get attacked that are on the ground, securing the Strait of Hormuz on the Iranian side, and then we're going to have to expand to push that group back, and then, oh, those troops are attacked. We got to expand to defend those troops. See how this works? It's called an escalatory ladder. So everybody that wants to play general or field marshal out there, who's totally pro-war and likes to sit back and drink whiskey and, you know, grill steaks like this is a form of entertainment, you just wait till all the sleeper cells activate, which has already started. You just wait till a gallon of gas is $9. You just wait till the recovery fails, which all the economists agree, if this happens for even 3 to 6 months, it will kill the Trump economic plan. So just remember, we're in the fourth turning right now, and this is all coming to a head. Dow drops more than 800 points as oil surges, bond yields climb in response to deepening Iran conflict. And you got the French sending an aircraft carrier. You got the British sending a bunch of ships. You have the B-52s about to blast off from Diego Garcia. You have the Russians saying they may just strike Europe, saying Trump has set the precedent. They can attack whoever they want. China is panicking, saying they're looking at sending military. I mean, this is how full-on giant wars start. And we're at the end of a cycle, the end of an economic bubble globally, not just us, the whole world. We were the best house in a bad neighborhood. As long as we innovated and cut taxes and expanded, we were going to come out economically on top. What did I say? Only way they derail this is with a new super deadly virus, much worse than COVID, lockdowns. They've said that they're going to challenge Trump with that. Fauci, all of them again, Hotez, the UN. They've also said a big war, Russia or this or Taiwan, North Korea. That, the globalists believe, will keep them in charge with a global crisis big enough that they can bring in all the police state controls and the economic rate reset and the social credit score. And because there's such a giant war and conscription prepared and the draft and all this, that this big war will be the cover for the totalitarian takeover. Okay. So those of us, you know, that didn't live through World War II or Korea or whatever, most people are dead from then. Those old timers were concerned about war and stuff and nuclear war. And we came close to it because they'd already been through a lot and their parents had been through a lot in World War I. But because we've had a volunteer military and stuff since Vietnam, after Vietnam, people seem like, you know, it's another world over there. No, it's just a few minutes away by hypersonic missile. And so people feel insulated from all of this like it's a game show. It's a Netflix entertainment thriller. This ain't a thriller. Okay? This is real. And anytime you have global economic collapse, giant populations, food shortages, you get war. Even if you don't have evil forces trying to get a war, you get one every time. But we have evil forces trying to get it. And, you know, Trump's answer is, well, Iran's just evil. And I agree their leaders are evil, but so are ours. I mean, by and large, we've got the Democratic Party and the Satanist. I mean, I think the Iranians kind of nailed it when they call us the Great Satan. Now, under their Islam, pedophilia is basically legal and everything else, so they're kind of like the orchestra for Satan. I mean, the point is, there's plenty of evil to go around here. We need a Christian revolution. We need a new awakening, a great awakening. We need a new crusade, not to go invade the Middle East, but to compartmentalize them and rediscover who we are. We have the left allied with Islam because they're both anti-Western, anti-Christian. So we have a congressman popping in who was in the depositions of Hillary and Bill. We're going to look at that a little bit at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to move back into all this war news and huge guests, your calls, analysis. But the calculus that went into this was Israel was going to go ahead and strike them. And so we had to hit them. And I've been saying Israel's holding us hostage. Not just controlling our foreign policy with AIPAC and bragging about it, but knowing that Iran would strike U.S. bases, because we've given Israel the weapons, bare minimum, if we kept giving them the weapons, which we've done. And so when Israel hit last Saturday morning, U.S. time, we were brought into the war. And they've got the Israel propaganda brigade out all over the internet. When you say that, say you're anti-Semitic, you're a traitor. Well, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, just said it in a press conference yesterday. This is a fact. But he said it like it's legitimate. And, well, they were going to fire missiles at our bases, so we had to wipe their missiles out. So we hit them with our ally, with our weapons. We hit them first, and then they're terrorists when they shoot back. I mean, it's gaslighting, folks, okay? But at least they're being honest at the level of what it is. And I've got those clips. But regardless, we're in this now, and I know that before Trump even got back in, the top generals said a full-on attack on Iran is too dangerous because of all the different ramifications that we now see unfolding. And Trump just keeps hoping there'll be regime change and they'll fall on their own. That's why he's like, well, we got 46 of them or whatever. They just got a whole bunch more of them today. The problem is, you know, the Iranians build all these great missiles, and they're not stupid. The Persians, you know, have always had, you know, good genes. I know most of these Shiites actually are out of Saudi Arabia and stuff. You know, genetically they're not really Persians, but you got to give it to these mullahs. They're dumber than a box of rocks. How they keep meeting in these bunkers that aren't secure. Have you heard of Zoom, Dumbo? Well, that isn't secure. The Israelis have hacked all of their internal security cameras. The Israelis were watching the bunkers Saturday morning or in the afternoon over there and released the video of the 31 bombs hitting from the top and then, oh, look, let's show you a snuff film inside. And, of course, I said that at the time. I said the Israelis have hacked all their cameras. And now it came out, Israel goes, oh, yeah, we control the street cameras. Israel could have already turned their cameras off if they want to. They're in the Iranians' cameras. Just like when you have Ring on your house or wherever, it's watching everything you do. It just came out today that Meta engineers, couples sit there and record their sex and other stuff. And people watch porn with their Meta glasses. And there are people in offices all over the world at Meta. It was the Kenyan office that blew the whistle because they're, that particular group's Christian. They're like, this is immoral. Give it to the Africans. African Christians are just great people. It shows they have the Spirit of Christ in them. See, they're not running around like demons anymore. It's like, we were acting like demons, white people, before we got Christ. And they're like, we think this is immoral. So they've blown the whistle that they're watching everything you do. And so is AI. That's real smart. And that's my point about all this. I told people, I was the first to tell people that Atlantic, Scientific Atlantic cable boxes in 1996 had microphones in them listening to everything you do and sending it back and creating a Word file out of it. And I got a visit by the FBI over that. Just to threaten me. They didn't even bring up the box. They just, I mean, they showed up hours after the show. Yeah. I was the first to report the secret UN program to take blood from all babies starting in 1974, the year I was born, and putting it in the UN genetic database that was later declassified decades later. I just, the public just can't handle the truth. So, I want to go to some of Trump talking during the press conference, some of the things he's saying. Then I've got the Marco Rubio stuff, the congressman, all of that coming up. We'll take a little segue into Epstein, because it is important, a little window, and these people, and we'll get back into all this. But here's some of the headlines. Trump says time for Iran talks is over and obliterates meeting to pick new leader. Trump earlier told Iran it's too late for negotiations as Israel launched a ground invasion of Lebanon. It's another little added expansion. U.S. president delivered Iran's reeling leadership was gone as airstrikes keep rocking the Middle East. U.S. troops died in triple-wide trailer Pentagon called Fortified. U.S. military death toll rises to 6. Iran war heralds an era of AI-powered bombing quicker than speed of thought. Yeah, when you watch those Israeli 30 bombers all unload their bombs at the exact same second perfectly in formation, that's AI. Iran live updates. U.S. and Israel officials warn Iran war could last weeks as fighting intensifies. Warning issued to Americans in 14 countries as Iran war grows. Depart now. Dow drops 1,200 points as oil surges. Bond yields climb in response to deepening Iran conflict. Live updates. Yeah, where's the Dow right now? Let's look up current numbers. Middle East escalation sends shockwaves through Europe's energy markets. We'll be getting to all this more details. Britain scrambles warships to Cyprus after France deploys aircraft carrier. Day 4, Iran drones and missiles challenge stretch U.S. forces. Iran strikes the U.S. embassy in Saudi Arabia as war expands yet again. It's basically obliterated one of our biggest naval bases over there in Qatar. As Iran retaliates, U.S. closes embassies in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Iran launches attack on largest U.S. base in the Middle East, warns Trump. Iran drones and missiles challenge stretch U.S. forces. Iran's strategy, expand the war, increase the cost, outlast Trump. Iran's missile math, $20,000 drones versus 4 million patriots. What would it take for oil to reach $120 a barrel, according to J.P. Morgan? An emboldened Israel is seizing opportunities to remake the region. Oh, they're really happy. This is great. Israel backed Iran's traffic cams, hacked their traffic cams for years before Ayatollah assassinated. Dramatic video appears to show downed F-15 pilot being threatened by a pipe-wielding Kuwaiti. Now, those are little buddies. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's son, highly vulnerable target while in Miami as Iran war spirals. Yeah, old Netanyahu's son. Continuing. how they hyped Iran's supposed attempted assassinations of Trump. And that was the final calculus to get him to attack, they say. Yeah, and that wasn't really Iran doing that. Those were CIA groups hiring people out of Pakistan who thought they were doing it for Iran so they could brainwash Trump into thinking Iran was trying to kill him. I mean, they'd shot their mouths off about it, but they'd never really done it. And they'd said they hadn't. Now they will try to kill him. Look at this. Satellite images reveal aftermath of drone attacks on Saudi Arabia's biggest refinery. Yeah, this is big damage. This is a real war. I saw Andrew Tate, who I think's a smart guy overall, say this whole thing's fake. It's just a few missiles, a backroom deal's been made. Andrew, you're right a lot, but you're wrong on that, buddy boy. This is big time. This is bad. This is an attempt to decapitate completely. All right, we're going to go to break. Can I have my guest folder? That'd be awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, we're going to go to break, and I'm going to come back and get into all this. But here's Marco Rubio, clip 16, and we'll go into Netanyahu, saying, oh, this war is going to last a long time, and it's about regime change. So it was first about getting their nukes, and then it was about getting their missiles, and now it's about regime change. And so, you see, we've been deceived about what this was, and that's why I've been against it. It wasn't just designed to get out of control. That was the plan, to do whatever it takes. Like I said on Saturday, we're now committed to this. We're now committed to this. We've been committed to this. And you can say, well, the goal on its surface looks good, right? Except the globalists always sabotage stuff because they don't want to stabilize things. Let's go to the clips.
The United States conducted this operation with a very clear goal in mind. I haven't had a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bears to be true, because in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
I said it could be quick and decisive. It may take some time, but it's not going to take years. It's not an endless war. In fact, it's an effort right now to achieve the peace that we all yearn and pray for.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Thank you. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Iran war expanding and spiraling and metastasizing. We'll be getting to that in great detail today. What it's doing in the markets. They just took out a whole bunch of the Mullah's Council trying to elect a new Soron. But I wanted to get Representative Eric Burleson to pop in because I know he was in both the hearings and with the depositions of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And it's obviously one thing a few days later to see video of it, but to be there in person to see the behind-the-scenes stuff and to see Hillary acting like she knows nothing about Ghislaine Maxwell or anybody after 2008, even though she was at her daughter's wedding and so much more after that. We know they were heavily involved in their foundation and then the founding of it. And I think Hillary's really committed perjury here. It wouldn't be the first time. Then we saw her get mad because Congresswoman Boebert put out a photo, big deal, blows up, storms off. What difference does it make? And when she gets a bunch of people killed, what difference does it make? But when somebody takes a photo of Her Highness, she just explodes. I don't like Bill Clinton, but it was something else when he's looking at the picture of him with women in a hot tub, and he starts smiling like a dirty old man, and his lawyer gets, you know, blushes and grabs it away, and he grabs it away, and I thought he was going to start, you know, wedding with himself under the table. But it's just something else. Representative Eric Burleson is a sixth-generation Missourian with 20 years of private sector experience and investment advisor and software consultant. He's got a great voting record and is a great patriot. I'm not going to go over his whole background, but he's a patriot and loves to hunt and fish and all the rest of it, but mainly defend our country. And he joins us right now from Missouri's 7th District, where he represents, I think he's in D.C. right now, Congressional District. Thank you so much for coming on with us just to give your take on what it was like to be there and where you think this Epstein investigation is going in general. Then I want to just ask you briefly, Congressman, I appreciate your time, on what you overall think about this Iran situation.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor to be on. Look, I never thought that it was not on my bingo card to be sitting across the table from Bill and Hillary Clinton in a deposition. When I ran for Congress, I had no idea. But, you know, Hillary, on day one, she came in and was extremely frustrated to be there. She was aggressive from the get-go. And look, that photo that Lauren Boebert took happened before the deposition began. And keep in mind, the Democrats were live texting the New York Times and other reporters while the meeting was going on, but that was never brought up, and they never were upset about that. But they were upset because Lauren took a photo before the briefing even began. So look, I think it was theater. I think when Hillary, when her attorney announced that there was a photo on the internet, I think that it was an opportunity for Hillary to create a scene. And really, I think that they tried to use every bit of that to try to end the hearing altogether. But Chairman Comer, behind the scenes, pointed out and was able to prove that photo was taken before things started. And he was able to prove that the Democrats were texting, which forced Hillary back to the table. Otherwise, I think it would have ended in that first segment.
You're absolutely right, Congressman. These are standard tactics. By her blowing up, that became the main story, and not her lying about continuing her relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell and her lies that she basically didn't have a relationship with her. When we have the emails and the history and the articles about it at the time praising it, that her found that she was instrumental helping set up their global initiative. They were thick as thieves. Obviously, she wasn't flying around doing social stuff with Epstein, because Hillary, you know, has her own harems reportedly, you know, that she's always controlled according to all the witnesses. You know, she likes to keep the little bevy of women for herself, you know, right on her own little chicken ranch. But I mean, to me, she changed the subject from what I think is clear perjury.
Yeah. I mean, look, what was remarkable to me is this woman, had an individual who donated to her campaign $20,000, and she doesn't have any recollection of that. Doesn't remember that. I think most elected officials, almost every elected official will remember someone who donates at that significant of a level. But Hillary does not. She also doesn't remember meeting him when he came to make donations for the White House Historical Society. She also doesn't remember, you know, that he came and visited the White House 17 times when Bill was president. She also doesn't remember the fact that she hired Ghislaine Maxwell's nephew to work on her campaign and to work for her when she was Secretary of State. She also really vaguely recalled trying to distance herself actually from Ghislaine Maxwell, saying that Ghislaine was not really invited to her daughter's wedding. She was just the plus one for their friend Ted Waite. One had to wonder what in God's name would it have taken for you to be on Hillary's radar if a $20,000 check and visiting 17 times and appearing at all these fundraiser events and going to your wedding, what would it have taken for you to be on her radar?
Well, I mean, I saw her a few weeks ago say, we have no connections to the Epsteins. We have no connections. Bill Clinton, now we know how powerful Epstein was on the Trilateral Commission. We knew that, but not that he was the stand-in for David Rockefeller, the head of it. That he really, this hype that he was super important was not hype. In fact, it was wilder than I knew once we got these documents. I mean, this guy really was involved in everything. And he's heavily involved in the Democratic Party and heavily involved in just every level of things going on there, and absolutely critical to really the whole Clinton model that they learned pretty much from Epstein. So that's what's in there. And so this guy was really a consultant to them. And you've got Ghislaine with the highest level security clearance into the palace, just like Jimmy Savile had with the royalty. And you know, their aircraft were allowed to land at restricted military bases that only if you have a special national security passes and codes you can do. Clearly, they were working for, you know, international intelligence agencies, and the Clintons have heavy connections to that. So I think continuing along into this is really going to be a treasure trove, and it's important because so far they're only trying to focus on Trump connections that are very thin, but it's been frustrating to see the administration not more energetic getting this all out in the past when it all sticks to the Democrats. And so I see them grabbing victory from the jaws of defeat by Republicans not hammering this enough. That's why I'm very thankful to you and Congressman Mace and others.
Yeah, there's two things just with Bill Clinton and that testimony that I think were takeaways from me that I think are important to stress and that people need to be doing deep dives in. One is that there was an email that belonged to Bill Clinton. It began with WJC. And in that email, which apparently what Bill Clinton said is that he was not handling that email account. It was his body man, Doug Band was handling that account. And in that email, there's some very torrid exchanges between Ghislaine Maxwell and that email. And to the point where she was saying that she had a crush on him and that he was hung like a horse. I mean, this is a crazy kind of back and forth conversation. And now Bill seemed to think that it be surprised that exchange was going on. I think that in his mind, he's just coming to realize that Doug Band was using his BlackBerry and email to have basically a relationship and was having a behind the scenes relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell. Meanwhile, his friend Ted Waite was also having a public relationship with her. It's a wild story that would almost be a soap opera if it weren't real life. The other thing that's really wild, and I had to ask the president about this, is his friend, Mark Middleton, who worked with him from the time that he was in Arkansas, came up with him and worked with in the White House. Mark Middleton was the individual who signed Jeffrey Epstein in 17 times. And it just so happens that Mark Middleton committed suicide in 2022 when all of the revelations were occurring. And he did so by apparently hanging himself while also shooting himself with a shotgun. Again, adding one more suspicious suicide to the long list of individuals that have committed suicide that are connected to the Clintons.
Well, that's right. His death reminded me of all the hundreds, the Arkansides, where Fannie Malik, the medical examiner that Clinton loved and promoted, would say that people with their arms and legs cut off that were put in plastic bags and gasoline poured on them did it to themselves. That's, of course, impossible. You'd have people with a whole bunch of shotgun holes to their backs and then evidence of being tortured before they were killed. Quite a few of those. And, yeah, so if I ever get found hung with a shotgun blast to myself, I obviously did not kill myself.
Yeah, me too, Alex. If there's a double tap to the back of my head, it was not me. I am not suicidal.
Well, look at Vince Foster. No blood at the scene. Everything cleaned up. It's just amazing. So what are the next steps in this? Because we got a nice confidence act from Hillary and Bill. You know, her laughing at, oh, there's no connections to us in Pizzagate. They divert off this pizza place that the media did. They created the story about the pizza place, not the WikiLeaks, where they say to John Podesta, and it's a woman that ran a service where you could rent kids just for fun. I mean, it literally says that on her site. Doesn't say for what. And she said, we're delivering the 7, her name, 9 and 11-year-old children to the wooded facility, a retreat log cabin. There's a hot tub by the pool. They'll be there at this time in the pool in the hot tub for your entertainment. But remember, they're well-trained, but they are children. I mean, and there's hundreds of those. These are real. And she just acted like she doesn't know. And I noticed that the whoever was asking the question at that time started to go there. And I could see Hillary, even though she puts on that you know, act that she's confident, getting really scared right there, because that's smoking gun stuff. What are 7-year-olds being delivered by Uber to the woods to John Podesta for his entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, Podesta was another individual that did come up. But he, look, there's so many people that are connected to the Clintons. And frankly, Hillary had amnesia on almost every connection and every interaction. So she distanced herself from quite a lot of it. In fact, she seemed to be living her life in such a way that everything revolves around her, and she doesn't really pay much attention to what's happening in the lives of the people around her. In fact, I asked the question, you know, I mean, one would think that she cares about her daughter, and her daughter was traveling with Ghislaine Maxwell and traveling with Jeffrey Epstein. They were at the wedding at Morocco, the famous wedding where Bill was likely that's the location where he's in the hot tub. And she was only 21 years old at that time. Well, that would put her in an age that would make her potentially a victim. And so I'd asked Hillary, did you ever consider that Chelsea might have been a victim? And did you ask her questions now that you know? Well, she refused to really answer that question. She really fell back on that she, you know, all of this happened at a time when she was not involved, did not have a relationship, and she had no idea what was going on. But the real question, why wouldn't she go back and ask Chelsea the question after the fact, as we've all found out, you know, in hindsight? And why wouldn't you ask your husband? I mean, my wife would be asking me if photos from 20 years ago came about where I was in a hot tub with other women. My wife would be asking me about these texting messages that are going back and forth between my email and another woman. That those are the kinds of things that would not escape any other spouse, but apparently they totally escape Hillary Clinton.
And then we get all the Epstein files, and I've literally seen 500 of them where it says things like delivering the sex slave to the Hyatt, had to beat up the sex slave later, didn't carry out the mission right. We got one piece of pizza that's glowing and really you're going to enjoy it. It's really loving, but 70, you're going to have to share it and thinly slice it. On, women, well, you bought my baby. Do you want to buy more? And real Epstein emails. And we got Cash Patel saying there's nothing to investigate. I think that's one thing that's really pissed off constituents. I already studied Trump, already knew all about him, already knew the socialites. I knew Trump had nothing to do with underage girls, very little to do with Epstein except being fellow socialites in New York and Florida. And so just overall, there have been some Republicans that have been really pushing and doing a great job, I think. And I think the administration has unduly demonized them for wanting to get to the bottom of this, where they're just being moral and doing what their constituents want. Listen, I have people at the grocery store and the gas pump in the last year say, hey, when's your boy Trump going to release the Epstein? And by the way, they're Trump supporters. I'm sure you get it from your constituents. Where do you see that going?
Look, I mean, never underestimate the ineptitude and the laziness of government bureaucrats, Alex. I think that we have way too much confidence in the FBI and the Department of Justice and their ability to pull this off and to do a thorough investigation. I mean, the longer that I'm in politics, the more that I'm convinced that government is not the answer to our problems. I really think that getting these documents released, I hope that folk like your listening audience and people that can dedicate time to this are going to do the job that the government has no desire to do, really. And that is comb through this, find the connections, build the case. Because I mean, it's millions and millions of documents, and it's going to take a large scale effort to kind of pull everything together. Maybe there's an AI software out there that can do a lot of this. But at the end of the day, I think that the vast resources of citizens out there that care about this and can dedicate time will eclipse the
No, you're right. You're right. We need to crowdsource this. Well, I've talked to AI experts. All the major AI does it. It does a great job. We use it all the time. Grok, you know, all of it. ChatGPT is great, except they've restricted it. So if it's anything that deals with liberals, it won't give you answers. But as you know, but the Justice Department made it where you only search 10 items at a time, both in the public database, the one that Congress can see, and broke the links to the photos and videos, though we found a way to find them. So it's the searchability function. When I've talked to IT people, it's done on purpose to limit it to 10. It makes it easier for the database actually to search at all, just like Google does. So they're deliberately making it hard to search, which, again, who runs or ran the FBI security parameters in all their computers? Ghislaine Maxwell's sister. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I did not know that.
I didn't know
that. Truly, unlike the Clintons, I truly did not know that, Alex. That's interesting.
I didn't know it. It's in this 3 million. And guess where her sister works? She runs the World Economic Forum's complete computer systems and security.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. These people were powerful. That people say I'm always right. That's not true. I'm generally right. I underestimated how powerful Epstein was. I mean, this guy was like the switchboard he's saying to the head of the EU and others and the head of the World Economic Forum, they had to resign over it. We've set up the alternative world government with you and the Trilateral Commission. We need to accelerate the UN giving its authority to you. That's 4 years before the UN gave co-equal decision-making on policy to, then that was 3 years ago, to the WF. So I think this investigation of Epstein is a lot bigger than just the women and underage girls, which is important. But that's why the intelligence agencies don't want it coming out, and that's why Trump's getting so much headwinds.
That's right. I think it is bigger. That's why I think that a lot of questions needed to be asked about to intelligence. That was my line of questioning with both Bill and Hillary. Of course, they had no knowledge. They claimed to not have been briefed and had no insights as to whether or not he's connected to intelligence, whether it's foreign intelligence or U.S. intelligence.
I heard you ask that question. They're like, what? That's ridiculous. Well, why would you ask us that? I mean, it's in any super spook isn't officially in the agencies. They're just, everybody knows, hey, this is the guy to talk to. We know it's Bill Barr's dad who brought him in, who was OSS CIA, and so was Bill Barr. In closing, Congressman, great job with what you're doing. Congressman Burleson, Representative Eric Burleson on X, YouTube, Fresh Freedom Podcast. But lastly, what is your overall take on the Iran situation? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What is the general feeling up there? I'm no fan of the mullahs, but I do think at this point you need a declaration of war. This is full war. This is not just get rid of their weapons. This is regime change. They just killed more of their leaders, you know, meeting to try to elect a new leader today. What is your overall view on this, and what is the sense of your colleagues?
I think the overall view is that I think what happened in Venezuela was a general success. The fact that they were in and out, boots were only on the ground for a limited number of hours. I think people are willing to give the president some grace here. He's certainly not a globalist by any definition. I think that, and so I think that a lot of us are willing to give him a little bit more rope or slack than we would other presidents who seem to be eager to get us involved in another war. I don't think this president is eager to do that. So I think it may be a little bit early to do a war powers resolution. I think I'd say give it a week, and see where this goes. But I think Congress, eventually should step in if this is going to escalate further.
Yeah, there's now talk of, we know there's special ops there, but actual ground invasion is on the table. I mean, I know Trump wants to leave it on the table so they don't, you know, underestimate us, but obviously Congress will need to vote on this if we're going to have a ground invasion.
Yeah, absolutely. I 1,000% agree with that.
Well, I'll say this. Everything Trump does is pro-America. We can say some of it might not be right. We all have our opinions. But this is definitely, in his perspective, America first. So is Venezuela. It's destroying the old globalist order. We're acting unilaterally, which we should as a nation in our interest. And so I had grave concerns as the founder of Blackwater did, and even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs said there's a lot of downsides to roll the dice. I think the president did this from a place of thinking it's the right thing to do, but I agree now that this has happened. I hope the regime falls quickly, or we realize they're not going to fall and pull back quickly, or Congress votes and we go. You should go to the American people. Maybe he should do a poll and see what they want. It's definitely a historic moment, and definitely has destroyed the old globalist order.
I think, and the one thing that's interesting about this, I would call it the Trump doctrine, is that he's really leaning on our strengths, which is, taking care of a country, with our air superiority, and whenever a country is being hostile to the interests of the United States and a threat to the interests of the United States, but not getting involved in trying to go in and change the cultures and yeah, exactly. I think that hitting the reset button really, in fact, his last interview, he, in so many words, defined it as hitting the reset button and saying, you know, worst case scenario is we end up with someone that's similar to the previous Ayatollah. And that leaves us, I mean, in a position where we were, and we could always hit the reset button again. But, I do not want to see us put any kind of troops on the ground whatsoever.
I agree with you. Well, if they pull out, they stop now the supposed mission to degrade their weapons and nukes, that's done for a few more years. But we see Israel pushing us to go all the way, and I think that's not their place to do that. Congressman Representative Eric Burleson, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. All right. Big news with Iran, but I saw him on Brianna Morello, who was actually watching her show, and then she sends me a text, hey, would you like him on? I'm like, yeah, she is so awesome. She's so professional, a great talk show host, great journalist, and like a producer, helps my producers. She's just amazing. We love her. All right. I don't want this Iran thing to go bad. I didn't say it would go bad. I said it was a good chance it would. And it's going that direction, okay? So people deserve to know what the real experts are saying. And notice before they even came out and said this, I was saying it. Because, I mean, I do my homework, okay? And I think people should be ready for what's going down. On the economy, sleeper cells, what China, what Russia's going to do. I mean, and yeah, obviously they were in this. They knew if the Iranians closed the Strait of Hormuz, it'll hurt us, but hurt the Chinese a lot more. I mean, they're getting like half their oil through there. China is in absolute panic mode right now. People are like, oh, that's a good thing. A lot of countries like that, you know, the psychology of a dictatorship. The Japanese attacked us when we cut their oil off before World War II. You're like, well, good. We won that, didn't we? Oh, yeah. Was that, should we have avoided it? We could have. Yes. My point is we're up to a new World War moment here. This is not Iraq. This is not Afghanistan. This is not Grenada. This is not Venezuela. This has all the potentials of a chain reaction of escalatory destruction, and it's happening. It's now the gravity of what wars suck societies into is manifesting itself. This is known. This has been well studied. So that's why Eric Prince looks like a deer in the headlights, because he's smarter than hell. And others, they're just like, don't do it. It's a roll of the dice. This is not a casino, folks. This isn't just money we're betting, okay? Now, it has scared the hell out of everybody, though. I mean, Trump's definitely put his pecker on the table. We'll be right back. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Looking at the military ramifications and developments in China, Russia, France beginning to move into the conflict. Coming up next segment, we'll look at the economy as well and take your calls. But right now, I want to just say that I 100% agree with Tucker Carlson that Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been in power 25-plus years, he's out of control, he's super unpopular, and he is manipulating us into all of this. And just as I said over the weekend, I said Saturday, notice Israel struck first during the day. The U.S. never attacks during the day in these things, in a major operation. And clearly, they precipitated and jumped the gun to force us into it. In fact, have the archivist find that, please, from Saturday. And I said it Sunday at 2. Then, Secretary of State came out yesterday, already played the clip and said, yeah, Israel struck, we had to. Because Iran was going to hit us. So we give weapons to Israel. So the devil made me do it. And Tucker Carlson's right. Netanyahu's out of control, and Israel is manipulating this country to a great extent, and it's wrong. And again, I had a proviso, because I don't want to be associated with old people that think if, you know, there's a rain cloud over their house, the Jews did it. But at the same time, I also will not sit here and have the Israel lobby run my country like I'm their slave. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of neocons. I'm sick of war. I'm sick of Netanyahu. And what Tucker Carlson says speaks for me. Here it is.
At some point, the United States has to get Bibi under control. Sorry, not anti-Semitism. This is a head of state whose decisions are getting Americans killed and affecting the history of the world and the fortunes, but also the future of the United States. The United States has to say to the government of Israel, you are not in charge. And no president since John F. Kennedy has been willing to say that, but no administration has paid a higher cost for going along than the current administration. And it's tragic when you think about it. And of course, it's not simply the administration, president, and everyone who works for him. It's the country and the people who voted for this president in the hope that he would improve their lives. And none of that will be possible if this continues. The fault, of course, is with anyone who went along with Bibi's demands or threats or whatever. But the root cause is Bibi and his ambitions. And so somebody immediately needs to say no. So let's assess the war in Iran, now ongoing in its second day, and try to answer those four questions. First, why did this happen? Now, in this case, there's a really simple answer. This happened because Israel wanted it to happen. This is Israel's war. This is not the United States' war. This war is not being waged on behalf of American national security objectives to make the United States safer or richer. This war is not actually even about weapons of mass destruction, nukes, chem bio. No, this war is waged purely because Israel wanted it to be waged. Now, why say that out loud this early in the conflict? Isn't that dispiriting for, say, American troops fighting this war? Yes, it is. And we thought a lot about whether it was wise or decent even to say something like that out loud, and have decided that it is for the following reason. First, because the truth is always the only basis for wise decision making. When you lie to yourself or you lie to your people, you not only commit, well, a kind of moral crime by lying, but you also tend to hurt yourself. Hubris is the product of lies, for example. You can get way over your skis if you're not honest with yourself and the people around you about what's happening and why it's happening.
Well, that's it. And Israel, you know, the British say fortune favors the bold. And, you know, Jews have their own name for it. It's called chutzpah. But everybody's got bravado. Everybody's got machismo. But let's just say the Jews are not short in that, on average, in that capacity, because they've had so much success for thousands of years. But, yeah, you talk about getting out over your skis, man. I mean, you talk about slavery. When you think about slavery, somebody's got a whip making you pull a plow. And that's slavery. That's terrible. But No, real slavery is when you pay your taxes to a government, you're a citizen, you play by the rules, and then a foreign government tries to get you in a war with Russia, and now a war with Islam, and it's all a bunch of horse shit. I mean, I am not Israel's slave, and I'm sick of it. We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
All right. We showed clips. We're going to go to Fox Live here in a moment. We're backing up the key point. We showed you a couple videos yesterday in different cities, Tel Aviv, Haifa, where missiles are coming in out of Iran, and you see the U.S.-made interceptors go up. And normally the Iranian missile's coming in, you know, the warhead off a ballistic missile, and it just comes in straight, and then these missiles go up and hit it. But you see them, and they go, it's like, and they, so, I don't know if they've got a proximity detonator where they know to weave and bob when they get into a certain level. I don't know if they've somehow got a sensor on them that can scan missiles coming in and then move around it. But this is some high-tech stuff. Because you see our high-tech stuff weaving and bobbing to get them. And then now we've got missiles. So they held back their good stuff. And that's what the Iranians said. They said, you haven't seen what we got. And so people see all these videos. They think they're AI. And then I go check it because you can run it through a computer program. You can also ask Grok. It's accurate most of the time on AI. And, you know, if you ask Grok, you know, is the vaccine good for you? Well, Time Magazine says so, yes, it's definitive. But if you ask it about AI, you can scan and say, yeah, this was made by this, made by that. So we've been looking those up. And, no, I mean, the Iranians are turning some really nasty stuff loose. And I know the Iranians aren't stupid, but I didn't even know the Russians or Chinese had stuff this good. Okay? Usually they want to evade things with, say, nuclear ICBMs and things just by sheer speed. I know the U.S. has some reentry devices that also have decoys and things and bob and weave like this. In fact, try to pull that footage up from yesterday while we play this Fox News clip. I can show people what I was talking about. There's a couple clips, but this is a big deal, folks. And they have wiped out some of our naval bases. They have clearly, like Eric Prince warned, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff head Kane said, this is murky water. And I remember growing up, my dad would tell me, hey, your friends someday will take you out in the woods at a river or a creek or the beach, and there'll be people jumping off cliffs into water and stuff. And if you can't see the bottom and you haven't gone and checked, don't jump off because this buddy broke his back and my brother broke his leg. And you're hearing this when you're 5 years old. Okay, Dad, okay. And then all of a sudden you're 14 years old with older kids and the kid jumps off and compound fractures, jumps into murky water. I mean, you don't jump into water. You don't know what's in it. I mean, it's that simple. Well, we've had so much success. We won all these wars. Let's just do it again. It's like walking around in the desert or West Texas. And you got a hole there, a hole there. One hole might have a pygmy owl in it. One might have a toad in it. One might have a Gila monster in it. One might have a rattlesnake in it. You just don't go sticking your arm down holes. And we stuck our, basically Trump stuck our dick in a hole. So this is a big problem, okay? And something's biting on the end of it, and it don't feel good. So Eric Prince is right, I'm right, Chairman Kane is right, that this is not a good deal, okay? And people are saying, well, he shouldn't have said that. You remember when Obama wanted to go to war with Syria? Syria had an alliance with Russia. We would have to go to war to Russia. He said, we'll follow that order. Probably not a good idea because it could lead to World War III. And Obama listened to him. It's why you have those people, because they're the experts. Like if I go in to get brain surgery from a top brain surgeon that has high ratings, and he says how he's going to do the brain surgery, and I say, well, maybe you should do it this way, they'll say, you need to get a different physician. Okay? So here's a little clip of Fox talking about this strike, and these are getting more and more sophisticated. And when the crew first showed me this just during a break, I said, is that the strike, the second strike on the Mullah Council that met today that they killed a bunch of them trying to elect a new government, elect a new grand leader? Because this council of 12 ringwraiths elects the new Sauron, kind of like Dark Crystal. And they're like, no, that's just confirmed real. Here it is, Fox News. To shoot from however many miles away, 800 miles, whatever it is away, and have all these missiles perfectly come in like that. And remember, this happened last year where the Iranians would hit the Mossad base or hit their headquarters, their Air Force headquarters, right in the center of the helicopter landing pad. And I said, and I looked at the satellite, oh, look, their missile didn't damage anything. Just like when the Russians hit those five or six Ukrainian warehouses perfectly in the roof. That one ballistic missile comes in and then launches MIRVs, a whole bunch of warheads, and they all go boom, 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 right in the top of the building. Perfectly. And everybody laughs, went, look, the Russians can't blow anything up. He didn't. I said, that's a demonstration. 1 hour later, Putin, this was a demonstration. We didn't put warheads on it, conventional or nuclear. So the Iranians last year just shot a couple missiles and said, pay attention to what we just did at this airport or at the Mossad base. And it was a message. We just put this right in the middle of your helicopter landing pads. I mean, right in the bullseye. That is a message that we can shoot missiles up your ass just like you can do to us. So that's where we're going here. Here's the clip, and we'll get into the economy. Huge breaking news on that front. What's happening with Strait of Hormuz? Stay with us.
We've got breaking news right now. We're going to get straight to Trey Yingst here. As we begin this hour, there are sirens now. Trey.
Yes, Sandra, we just have air raid sirens sounding across Tel Aviv. There was no early alert for this incoming fire, and it's unclear where it's actually being launched from. Normally, the Israelis are given a bit of a heads up before this occurs, and we're going to try to figure out where exactly the launches are coming from. We do know that alerts are sounding right now for Israel's second largest city of Tel Aviv, where we are located, and just south of the city. As this is unfolding, the Israelis are, just give me 1 second here, I'm going to read this. This appears to be, okay, interesting, this appears to be at least initial reports indicating a possible long-range launch from Lebanon, and you just heard the explosion there in the distance. This would be the first time that the Iran-backed Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, and just stay with me for a second, you can hear those explosions behind me. If this is confirmed, this would be the first time that the Iran-backed Lebanese militant group Hezbollah launched a long-range missile toward Tel Aviv since this war began. We know that the Israelis are directly bringing the fight to Hezbollah. We can show you some video here. Earlier today, the Israeli Air Force going after targets near the Lebanese capital of Beirut in the Dahya neighborhood. All of that was taking place as Israeli ground forces moved into southern Lebanon to build a defensive border. The Israelis are also trying to ensure that these launching positions in Lebanon to their north are not being used to target cities along the border. They also have to look east amid incoming Iranian ballistic missile fire that took place earlier today. We were in the community of Bnei Brak just outside of Tel Aviv, a religious community. It was filled with families and children,
And you can see in this aftermath video some significant damage caused by a cluster munition that exploded just over Tel Aviv. We were there earlier today, and I want to show you what the scene was like. Israeli officials say the Iranian regime launched ballistic missiles at Israel's second largest city of Tel Aviv, one of them with a cluster munition on top.
We will check back in with this, but I wanted to bring, just briefly, he's got to go soon, Dr. Kirk Elliott, who's also our huge sponsor. And by the way, I forgot to bring this up with you. I wanted to get you on about Tucker Carlson, who I agree with, exposing these gold companies, ripping people off. We've said exactly the same thing. We've explained, though, I watched his documentary. It's great, but it makes it so technical. It's very simple. If someone's selling you gold at wholesale price, you can check the price and know you're getting the best deal. That's what Elliott does. It's so simple to just explain this. Anybody can verify it instead of going through a, you know, huge breakdown of it. But hopefully in the next few days, you'll come on and do the deep dive on that. We'll air part of his documentary and get your take on it because you've been harping on this. But that's separate issue being our sponsor. You're also an economist. And really smart guy, as you warned, they would probably close the Strait of Hormuz. It has been closed by the insurance companies just by attacks on ships, some of which have been damaged and sunk. So what's happening in the markets, obviously, it's the stock market's way down, gold and silver way down. But as you predicted a month ago when they drove silver down, it would just bounce back up. I believe that this is going to bounce way back because of all the fundamentals. So, Dr. Elliott, a lot to hit here. You're with Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, the largest silver and gold broker in the U.S. because you have the highest ratings, the best prices, and best service. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And as you told folks 2 weeks ago, we believe this is a buying opportunity when they artificially drove down silver with naked shorting. And, of course, we were right. So this is a major buying opportunity, 720-605-3900, KPM.com/gold. The best deals, the best ratings right now waiting for you. Dr. Elliott, thanks for being here.
It's great to be with you, Alex. And you know, this operation in Iran, as we've talked about prior, right? And many, many months ago, right? It's like whenever there's war, whenever there's conflict, when this Strait of Hormuz gets shut down, oil prices are going to go through the roof. Gold and silver go through the roof. Why? Because gold and silver thrive during times like this. Nobody else does. Right. We hate this. We hate this war. And when lives are, people are going to die. And I mean, it's just ugly. Right. But gold and silver thrive during that. So on Saturday, you know, watching this stuff kind of play out, silver went up to like from 88 to 95. It's like, this is what it should do during times of war and conflict. This is what precious metals do. And then I was looking at Sunday, you know, just sitting there watching the news like everybody else. And it's like, holy cow, oil was up 8.5% in one day. It's like, these are the fundamental forces that cause it. So why then did silver come down over the last couple of days? See, the same thing, I believe, Alex, happened at the end of January when silver had gotten up to 118. The big banks needed to unwind and get out of their naked short positions because when the price went up so much, they were possibly going to go out of business, right? Some of them may have gone bankrupt. So they used that opportunity to get rid of them. Estimates are 60% of these shorts, of these naked shorts, have been unwound during that couple of days at the end of January. Well, now silver was going up. Gold is going up because of this new conflict in Iran. So then what happened? Came down today. I think that a lot of the remaining shorts are being unwound during this because fundamentally, this is what causes gold and silver to go up, not come down. This is what causes oil to go up, right? So you're looking at this and it's like, okay, we get to take advantage of what I believe is, if not the most important, the second most important commodity on earth, which is silver. Oil is number one, but it would be a hard case to say what's number two.
And
what's
by the way, Elon Musk came out last week and said silver for computers is the most important and is only going to go up, which is obviously true. So you said this 2 weeks ago on the show. We can play the clip. You said the fundamentals are all there. They've artificially done this. You said within a few months, I think it bounces back to where it was. It was already on that path. But here they've gone and suppressed it again.
Yeah. See, whenever they do this suppression, I look at this as a positive, not as a negative. Why? Because I don't believe that it's outright blatant manipulation, Alex, that these big banks are manipulating the prices. They're in it for their own survival, right? They're unwinding and unraveling their short positions so they don't go out of business. The more shorts that are unraveled, the healthier this market is going to be, because what a short does is down the road, it acts like an anchor to future growth, because you never know when these big banks are going to start
and
unwinding.
And they know having to get out of these shorts that's so painful for them that drives a lot of shorting out of the market, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So this is what's happening right now, I believe today and yesterday, is they're getting rid of a lot of their remaining short positions. To me, extremely healthy, because when you look at the fundamental forces that cause growth, this operation in Iran, it's not going to end anytime real soon. It's going to be a quagmire, like what you just talked about. This is going to get ugly, right? And so I think gold and silver are going to continue to go up and go up a lot, because during times of crisis, people look for things that are real, right? And so to me, this is an elemental force of what causes something to go up. You have to look at the fundamentals of supply and demand.
And it's so strong here, as we explained in hours of broadcasting. It's like a force of nature, a law of physics here, like gravity. But they have some manipulation. But as you said, as you predicted months ago, as they begin to get out of their shorts, then that'll basically be gone. And then yes. I think that signals the true ascension.
It does. It does. And so, like, in any bull market, if you were to give it phases, phase one is when it's the early adapters, right? People are taking a lot of risk. It would be like tech stocks in 2000. It would have been AI stocks, you know, a couple years ago. It's like, yeah, there's this move, this potential for huge growth, but there's a lot of risk. That's phase one. Phase two is when there's less risk, it's just much more consistent growth, and that can last years and years and years and years as the populace starts to get in. Phase three generally is looked at as like, all right, we've had all this population getting into this market. Now it's a speculative blow off. It's the fear of missing out, right? It's the greed conquering everything else.
And now you have a fourth phase that hasn't ever really been here until now. Decades and decades of suppression of silver and gold to hide inflation, and now as they have to move away from that because of increased inflation and because of industrial use, we now see the corruption burning off before it really goes into escape velocity.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and we also have, you know, a fourth or fifth phase that you'd want to call it is, this isn't a speculative bubble like other you know, markets in the past. Whether it was tech stocks or AI stocks or cryptocurrency or whatever, this is purely a fundamental supply and demand.
I meant to give it to you before the interview. Actually, one of my kids showed me this. Was like, look at Elon Musk says silver is the most important thing in computers, and as you see with AI and every, you know, he's basically said silver is absolutely guaranteed. Did you see his post on X about that?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why is he saying that? Because he understands silver is like the new oil. The world can't get by without it because it's used in all forms of electronics, right? And if it runs out, what this flat screen behind you, what are Sony and these companies going to do if they can't get silver? They're going to offer up the bid price to whatever they can do so they don't go out of business.
Now, let's be clear. They have a few alternatives, but I was reading articles about it. To make the special weird alloys is like twice or three times more than silver. So it's like there's no alternative.
There is no alternative. And you know who else thinks this is, you and I were talking about this, Bank of America. So I don't know if we've been ahead of the curve, Alex. We were on the curve in identifying this stuff about the ratio trade, the ratio between gold and silver and why silver is so important right now. The head researcher for metals for Bank of America, not some rogue internet podcaster, Bank of America, says silver by the end of this year should be 135 to 304. What? Bank of America is saying that? What is the rationale behind it? It's simply the ratio trade. It's the ratio of amount of silver it takes to buy 1 ounce of gold.
So let's be clear. They're saying 135 to 309 with their computer models by the end of the year, which is what you said months ago. I think you said 200 easily by the end of the year.
Yes.
So you're right in the middle of the forecast, which is
right in the middle. But where did they get those numbers? 135 is a 32-1 ratio. That's where they put the bottom of it. With gold at 5,000, the ratio at 32 would put it at 135. And then at 14-1, which is where they're viewing the bottom, I don't even go that far, but I always like to under promise and over deliver, right? So Bank of America says 14-1, which was Hunt Brothers, 1980 style, right? So that's where they get the numbers from. Now there's a massive mistake in their math, and that is they're assuming that the price of gold is not going to change. They're using these ratios based on $5,000 gold. Alex, with this war and everything else that we're seeing, gold is going to continue to go up. It's why central banks are allocating into it. So these numbers just go higher. They're using a static. Their mathematicians are using a static amount.
People say, why don't you use silver? There isn't enough silver for central banks and institutions to use it as their hedge.
Correct. This is absolutely correct. So now Bank of America is catching up to what you and I have been talking about for 2 years. And now when the public starts to get in to what we've been talking about, the demand is going to greatly outpace the
supply.
What
about wild cards? The Strait of Hormuz is now closed. Trump's saying 4 to 5 weeks. I think they're going to stretch it out now. What happens if the Strait stays closed for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months?
Oh, you probably see oil double, at least. You could see silver double, at least. And you could see gold probably not double, but gold could hit $7,000 an ounce, right? So why? Because that's a very important strait that brings oil to the rest of the world. And if there's
27% of oil and natural gas.
Yes. And so when that's shut down, the whole world goes into disarray. It's like, how are we going to survive? What are we going to do?
Yeah, what about China? They're in total panic mode right now.
They should be in total panic mode right now. A, they don't have silver because of what's happening in Venezuela. I mean, over the weekend, I was doing research on the cartel war in Mexico. 50%, Alex, of all the silver that comes into America, into our refinery silver, in our refinery system, comes from Mexico. On Saturday alone, 10 miners were killed, put into shallow graves in Mexico that are driving the silver trucks to the refineries in America, right? It's like, who would want to work in that environment? The supply chain disruptions are going to be insane.
And why? Because I don't know. Mexico is the number one producer of silver on earth.
Yes. China is a huge producer of silver. They can't get the ore from South America into China. So China's running out of silver. If the Gulf of Strait of Hormuz goes down, China's not getting oil. China's hosed, right? And this, all of this geopolitical conflict is going to help us who invest wisely during this time. And it's not like you're making a big, wild, pie in the sky prediction. It's just like the world is not having available what it needs, which is oil and silver. And we get to take advantage of that.
Incredible. They need to call you now, get a free consultation or a free email, get a call. You guys need to call. You guys need to take action because this is a big historic deal. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And they are ready to ship you the gold, the silver, whatever it is you want. And it's very simple. We can make documentaries explaining it, but it's simple. Buy it from the highest rated company that sells it to you at wholesale. You can check the wholesale price online. It's so easy. And then that's what you do, and that's why Kirk Elliott's number one, because all the smart shoppers go with him. KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. The number one performing asset is silver the last 2 years, hands down. The number one seller in North America is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Thank you, Dr. Elliott. Don't hang up. I want to invite you back on soon to talk about this. You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I stood out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
To AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
We are the number one hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go, go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signing them. You really couldn't tell who they were. And I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom. And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, and I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know there's people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat and they'll kind of sit back and watch and see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed that. We've drawn them out of their rat holes. to do all of this, the Soros scum and the Soros DA, and just all of them, they're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light, and they've got their illuminators on, and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity. How'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag. Remember everywhere, it'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at and knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant. Leadership, the essence of leadership is showing people how it's done so that they understand it's the right way and getting them to adopt it. And being a leader means you go against the tide when the tide is wrong. You go against the crowd when the crowd is wrong. You go against the establishment when the establishment is degenerate and sick. And then by example and by competence and by will and by strength, then the timid join you. Because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, to quote the great Mark Twain. In the beginning, the patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. The patriot is a scarce man, hated. All right, I'm about to lay out the latest developments in really this new world war we're in. And I said that over a year ago. I was the first to say it, and now they've had the big war planners in Europe, in Russia, in China, in the U.S. basically say we're in a new world war. And I want to explain what this new world war is. In the CIA's own documents, their own war games, they called the Cold War World War III. But it was a soft war, a cold war. This is World War IV. It's already kinetic, it's economic, it's cyber, it's cultural, it's full-spectrum dominance. And it has not the potential in every major AI, corporate, RAND Corporation, Pentagon, war game, not the potential to go nuclear, but the probability. AI models came out last week. 97% chance we have a nuclear war on the current trajectory. I have to fight every instinct of self-preservation I've got, because if you panic and run, it's like the pain induction box test in Dune, the novel, also in the film. An animal will pull its hand out of a box if it's being, you know, massive pain, but a human can control itself if it is a human and just cut it off and to say it doesn't matter and just understand that that's not real. And that's where we are right now. The only way to win this game is not to play. And you've got all these factions that want to attack Trump just because he's Trump over the war. And all the other factions want to say you're a traitor if you don't support total war. There's a major tug of war in the administration over this war. And the majority of Trump's advisors wisely told him not to. Not because there wasn't a chance his goal wouldn't work, but because you don't play dice with something like this. I'm not against gambling. I'm not a gambler myself. You know, actual gambler, like roulette, you know, poker, blackjack, slot machines. But, I mean, I've gone and done it to see what it's like here and there. I probably gambled like 10 times in Vegas, a few times on cruise ships. You spend a little bit of money. You decide I'm going to spend this much. You go do it. And then a few times, you know, my wife's winning or I start winning. And I'm like, you know what? I just won $2,000 above what I'm done. But you study degenerate gamblers, it's when they're down that they double down and go mortgage the house or whatever. And it's just sad. And you don't gamble with other people's lives. And I know we put Trump in to be bold, but he said, they all said, J.D. Vance said, Tulsi Gabbard said, they all said, we don't want regime change in Iran. And vote for us and we won't do that. And then they did it. So it's just one more thing broken. And it is Israel that's driving the bus here. Nick Fuentes joins us in about 20 minutes from now for an in-depth dive on this. And I don't totally agree with how hardcore he's going against Trump, but I think you can't put him down for his response. And now you got Trump out, you know, defending Israel. Oh, they didn't make me do it. I made the decision. Yeah. Which only makes it worse, Trump. And look, Trump also knows it's a message to Russia and China. He's been sold. The Mullahs tried to kill him. The cases we looked at, it was a setup where they hired lunatics to do it. The CIA did. It came out. I mean, I get why Trump did this. I don't defend it. But he's still a good guy. And I'm glad he's in there and not Kamala. But that said, we got to put his feet to the fire, his administration's feet to the fire. Because this is not going well. And I don't think the Mullahs are going to fall. If I wake up next week or tomorrow and then they have, and there's people in the streets, and you know, great, I'll be cautiously optimistic. Hopefully they get a good government in. But, you know, something tells me that's not going to be happening, boys and girls. Yeah, we got the clip coming up. In fact, get the clip from the press conference. I saw it on X. I know I was supposed to go to it. I told him, get me the clip. I never went to it last hour. I got perseveration, diarrhea of the mouth. But Marco Rubio is very professional. He's been a neocon, but now that he's serving America first, at least under Trump, he is a very capable man. You can't say not. Very intelligent, very well-spoken, very a lot of poise. And I hope he's on our team. But I wouldn't turn my back on him, if you know what I mean. But he came out and said, no, Israel decided to strike and without our authorization, but we knew they were going to hit us right after that because we gave them the weapons, so we went ahead and we joined in. And what he was doing was saying, hey, we didn't start this. It's Israel. And we already know that. So that's a big deal. And we got drug into this. And now there's major heat over that. So Trump's doing damage control because Trump always wants to be in charge. But I wasn't going to release this information. Well, by showtime, I wasn't sure because I need to think about things that are big like this. But it's got a downside, but I think the right thing to do is tell you. So I'm going to tell you what I've gotten from White House sources at the start of the next hour when I bring Nick Fuentes on. And how many times have I told you stuff that 2 weeks later comes out word for word what I told you? This is from three sources two that were there, and another high level that got it from others that were there. This has happened. Okay? But 100% Trump blew up. That's only part of the story. When they were getting ready to hit him Saturday night, our time, which I called on Friday, which wasn't hard. They telegraphed it all. I mean, they said, get out in the next 24 hours. I mean, that's not hard to pretend. And you could tell the rhetoric and the aircraft already on the tarmacs, and it was, this is not a game. I mean, it's like not even a prediction. They said what they were going to do. And then Israel hits them a day early, during the day, endangering our forces, dragging us in. Because nobody attacks during the day because it's much easier to shoot down the aircraft. You know, they lose a lot of their stealth ability during the day. I mean, just the sun bouncing off planes creates a bigger signature. And that's just one part of it. Then you've got visual stuff. And it's just, so Israel knew, and I've always been worried about this, and experts I've talked to, like John Kiriakou, have been worried, that Israel could drag us in by hitting Iran. Remember, I was on, just type into Google, experts are concerned Israel may strike Iran to deliberately drag us into war. I've seen that headline 500 times the last 20 years. So see what I'm getting at here? Is it, let's say you love Israel, okay, you think it's great, all right? And you love Netanyahu. And you think, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread. It's not right to have a foreign government and foreign power that we've allied with, that we give money and weapons to, that has pissed off the Pentagon so bad that they came out and said, not just them, but the Pentagon as well, no, Israel hit them before we knew, so we had to go in. And Marco Rubio said it multiple times. And then the damage control, oh, no, the Israel lobby, that's not right. And Trump goes, yeah, that's not right. I'm the boss. I made the call. Israel just punked our president. And how does this affect J.D. Vance? Very smart. Stood up for me when he wasn't even a senator. Running for office, saying it was wrong, I was deplatformed and nobody else would. I've met him, I've talked to him, very smart. He would make a great president over Gavin Newsom. And that's really what we should be thinking about, is the midterms and the presidential election that starts in like a year and a half. And it's only, you know, two years and 8-9 months away. I mean, this is flushing capital down the toilet here. And so I just, on every front, it's a dangerous gamble. It breaks promises. It's crazy. And then Israel, see, I'm politically engaged. So I've heard Israel runs everything and you know, including what time I, you know, take a dump in the morning. And I've seen the anti-Israel groups get so crazy and they're allied with Islam. So I'm like, I'm not with you. And I know what goes on behind the scenes. So I know Israel in the past was maybe involved in 20% going on in the government trying to control us. But now with this power vacuum, with the Democrats floundering around, Israel's making a real move, as I said last year, 9 months ago, during the precision strikes that I guarantee would lead to a wider war. Israel really is trying to run this country and really is trying to censor us and really is trying to control us. And so Israel is almost as dangerous to America now as China. China's number one threat still. But China was way up here, and Israel was down here, and, you know, other groups, and the, you know, the cartels. All Israel's, like, way up here now. And so if Israel really is going to try to run this country and really is going to try to control us, I'm going to, you know, level up with Israel. But I pledge to you, I will not make up stuff. And, again, if there's a ice storm that comes and I slip and fall while, you know, cleaning ice off the windshield of my car, I'm not going to blame the Jews. And it is the low IQ attacks on Jews in Israel, just Jews aren't one monolithic group, that fosters much of this, because, you know, the average Jew is an evil or corrupt or involved in some evil thing. And then when they see all this craziness and all this wild-eyedness, the social engineers over in Israel use that to get Jews, a lot of which are wealthy, to empower the Jewish globalist mind control mafia, whatever you want to call it, you know, that predatory arm for control. Whereas I just want a big tent for everybody. I mean, I want to recruit all the Jews over to populism and freedom and Team Humanity. I mean, I listen to Bob Dylan's songs and read his writings and agree with 99% of it, not the people that know Bob Dylan behind the scenes. And, you know, he becomes a Christian in the 80s. He becomes an anti-globalist in the early 90s. Then he decides it's all bull, becomes a liberal again, now becomes a conservative again. You know, it's like, I want the Jews on Team Humanity. And there's a bunch that are. But when you do this alienation stuff, like I'd love the Muslims to reform themselves. I'd love to have them. You know, I don't want to kill everybody. I don't want to be in fights. I don't sit there secretly at night with a Nazi flag in my bedroom jacking off to it. But there are people that do that. And there are Christian Zionists and other people that are also just on a complete power trip and just worship whoever's in power in Israel. And it's just, it's sick. It's sick. So I reject the weird neocon Zionist blob. I reject all the Muslims and everything. But you gotta give the Jews this. Netanyahu was up there in a speech I saw a few weeks ago, and he's like, the Maccabees, five brothers that made Israel survive. Mr. Huckabee wouldn't exist today, a play on words, you know, Huckabee, Maccabee, if it wasn't for the Jews. And it is a true statement that Judeo-Christianity, people go, oh, well, you know, it doesn't come out of, you know, Jews. Well, it comes out of God and the covenant. But the Abrahamic faiths, and Abraham was told all the time, oh, this kid that was, you know, the bastard, that's going to be your enemy now forever. That's the Muslims. It literally tells you, what, 4,000 years ago, whatever it is, this is what's going to go down. That's why it's prophetic and it happens. And so it's true, the whole world and the entire paradigm of everything that got set up is the most influenced in the last 2,000 years at least by Jews. And so there is a giant vortex around that. And so I seek to influence that whole cacophony coming together for the good of humanity instead of being manipulated into joining the deceivers and the priesthood that wants to control the power of the Jews for evil, and then the other side of evil that wants to destroy them in general. See, that's the thing. The Jews and the things they were doing with the Rothschilds in Germany and World War I and the British Empire and the Rothschilds conjured Hitler, but Hitler was basically a mirror, a doppelganger of that. That's what that is. This is the truth about this. So I absolutely respect the Jews, and I know there's different subgroups and directorates and good guys, bad guys. And so I'm just going to oppose evil policy. But again, you've got the eugenicist globalist death cult even above that. And you've got the Chi-Coms in there. You know, the Chinese are smart, but they're really good at copying things. They've copied the globalist plan. So now it's a competing plan. And it's like an arms race to Armageddon, basically. And so obviously it's not biblical to worship whoever's in power in Israel. But you have to also recognize the covenant and the proof of the covenant in what you've seen manifested. You cannot deny it. And then Christ comes not to destroy the old law, but to fulfill it and take it to the next level and graft in everybody else. But that doesn't mean graft in everybody else to then follow the twisted post-Christ 30-plus books that other Jews have put out that they operate off of now in all their different sects. They're all divided and conquered. Only Christ can unify and bring peace to the planet. The message of God is sent through the Jews into Christ. And you can't, when you sit back and you look at it, if I was like a scientist studying this, I'm like, This makes everything adds up. Everything is accurate. So I don't want to kill the Jews. I want the Jews to step into their true office and stop denying their Messiah. Now, you got all the Christian Zionists and these rabbis that say they're Christians that have just made a new form of Judaism with Christian Zionism. I'm not talking about that. There is no more race. There is no more sect. There is a relationship with Christ into the Father and God. That's it. We have the answer. We have the plan. And sociologically, I can look at that and say, the only way to beat the Antichrist system is true, decentralized, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not through the megachurch, not through the Vatican, individual relationship with Christ. And what does the globalists want to shut down? Small churches, individuals. They hate real Christianity. The Muslims do, everybody, because it's the answer. God gave us the plan. It's real. And now as I've gotten older, and I'm literally given prophetic understanding of the future, I realize God gives us free will, but he cheats. And I don't mean that in a cheat way, but he puts us into a combat zone and gives us a boot camp and an instruction manual and tells us the rules. Like a video game, you know, you can have the cheat file on how to be invincible. And what's crazy is God puts us in here and goes, look, I gave you free will, but here's the cheat file. And we just go, listen to what you say, including myself, because I always catch myself, I've got to be strong. I've got to beat the New World Order. But when I just lay back and go, no, you got to do it. Tell me what to do. And it's just like, and then everything is just calm victory. It's just like, so why do I fight against that? It's beyond pride. I'm still in the flesh, so I'm struggling, and I feel like I'm being under attack, so I have to fight from the flesh. And the Jews and everybody else just have to, just like I need to, you need to turn loose of the flesh. I know it's scary at the moment you do it, and just embrace death of the old self. Just embrace death, and you'll be reborn. Just say, I can't do it. It's true. Just try it, Jews. Try it, everybody. Just say, Jesus, show me if you're real. Just, I love you, Jesus. Just show me. What do you have to lose, Jews? Oh, so you're real scared, aren't you? Because you've got a real potential that the devil doesn't want you to use. So, hey, if it's Jesus isn't real, he's a fraud, all this stuff. You're not betraying your people. You're fulfilling your people. Ask Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit into your soul. Accept Jesus Christ. Take Christ's hand. He's at the door. Open the door. What do you got to lose if this is all crap? But you know, don't you? Fulfill your destiny. Call on Jesus Christ. Save the world. Bring forth the Messiah. We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I've tried living it risky, relied on women and whiskey, chased my blues, turned my nights to days. First rage, only a pastime, with age more than a lifetime, day in, day out, the world just turns away. But everybody knows you live, learn, but the lessons just go on and on. I guess we're gonna have to wait for all the pages to turn, find out if it's right or if it's wrong.
You live, you learn.
You live.
Well, I can tell you 100% God's real, angels are real. I have seen it in dreams. I have been told specifically what's going to happen. I have demonstrated it many times to you. It is awesome. And I just love God. And I love God's creations. And I just want you to love God. And I want you to see what I've seen. I mean, that's just some Texas hospitality right there. I never get people that don't want other people to have enjoyment or pleasure or enlightenment or empowerment. I just get a thrill out of empowering people. There's so many people I've helped in my life. Not because I'm some great guy, it's just what I do. It just feels good. And they'll later say to me, why are you helping me? What do you want from me? And a lot of times, evil people that you didn't know were evil, you're helping them, they think you're after them or something. It's like, why are you helping me? Why are you being nice to me? There must be some alternative. Some secret motive, ulterior motive. It's like people that get mad that their neighbor has a little bit bigger house or nicer car than them. Like, isn't it nice you live by a neighbor with a nice house? Or people that get jealous that their neighbor has a super hot wife. I remember growing up and like somebody get a new car and some of the neighbor kids would say, and I'd be with their house, their dad would say, oh, that guy's a piece of crap. Blah, blah, blah. I bet he's on credit getting that car. He's a loser. And I'd be thinking, why? Why would you be upset that the guy has a nice car? Or, you know, I'd be like 10 years old over at somebody else's house, and somebody would come over and visit with their wife. She'd be some super hot chick. And then, you know, this is examples, and they'd leave. And then the dad or whoever would say, I bet she cheats on him. Like, why can't he have a beautiful wife? Why can't it say it's great? It's like they think somebody else's success hurts them. And when you understand that, hey, guys, I left a folder in the front seat of my truck. Will you go get it out? It's a blue folder. Press bring it in here. Here's my keys. All right, just pull up the Artichoke documents that they classified 2 weeks ago. Again, I want to bring it up to the Nick. And here's the CIA saying, put poison in the food, the water, the vaccines to make them dumb and scared and easily controlled. They tell you what they're doing in 1952. Like, what type of elite want to dumb people down and poison them and give them cancer and make them scared? What, you're so powerful, you've got to rule over a bunch of dysfunctionals? Again, that's not leadership. And none of the articles have even given it credit how bad it is. It's like, oh, they wanted to control us. They wanted to dumb us down. They wanted to print that for me, by the way. It's coming up. They say to control you, they're going to poison you. Yeah, now Rubio, I said it before it came out. And he's like, Rubio's like, yeah, Israel struck first, so we had to. They drug us into the war. Trump flips out. No, I'm the boss. Now Rubio, oh, I didn't claim Israel dragged Trump into the war. No, they just struck him during the day, a day before they were even talking about doing it, to drag us into the war. We know what happened. You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shut out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Pistol shots ring out in a fire room night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to
Cortez, hey, Nick. We're going to him in just a moment. All right. I've been explaining this for decades because I've studied history. I've studied sociology, anthropology, archaeology, futurism, predictive programming, what the globalists wanted to build. Couldn't we build alternate plans and dreams? Because humans build what we dream, made in the image of God. And now we see the old globalist order falling apart. We see Trump trying to fill the vacuum with a bunch of American power projection. And whereas I tacitly support the idea of Venezuela cutting off Cuba and Mexico, you see the aftermath, it's still a roll of the dice. But Iran is specifically for the interest of Greater Israel, with Huckabee now admitting Greater Israel, Israel admitting it, saying we're a superpower, bragging. Truly the stereotype of Israel wanting global domination and trying to control the U.S. is now a reality. Just as it was 9 months ago when they said surgical strike, nuclear program, midnight hammer. And I said, this is the prelude of them psychologically giving Trump, he thinks, a victory to then sell full war, even though Chairman Kane of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and others, like Eric Prince, that talks to the president, is very smart, said, do not do it. The scenarios are too dangerous. And now the Strait of Hormuz is closed. Now the economy's in crisis. Now Iran is firing missiles never before seen that come in and then evade the interceptors. They're not surrendering. They just killed more of the leadership trying to elect a new Sauron on the Council of 12. And you study their power setup, it just gets more psychotic as you go deeper, and they're thousands deep. So this does nothing. And then the big bombshell, we'll cover this first with Nick Fuentes for the next hour and 45 minutes. Appreciate him joining us. Marco Rubio to hedge his bets yesterday. We'll play the clip in a moment. Says, oh, yeah, I mean, we had to go in because we give the weapons, that's why, to Israel. And so Iran's doctrine is to hit us and all our bases in any country that has our bases. So we had to preemptively hit them, or the missile attacks would be much worse. So that's like I had to attack you before you attacked me. And then I said at the start of the show, I said, Trump doesn't want people to know that the tail's wagging the dog. He's going to get pissed. Sure enough, he said in the press conference with the German Chancellor Merz, oh, no, Israel didn't do this. Oh, we always attack during the day. No, you don't. That's way more dangerous for so many things. The stealth profile, just with the light hitting the wings, creates a bigger resonance. Okay, because of ionization happening and other issues. And there's more condensation during the day, and it just goes on and on. It's not good to do these attacks. We never do them during the day. That's why I said they're going to hit Saturday about 6 o'clock U.S. time, the middle of the night over there. That turned out was the attack plan. Israel attacks first, hits the underground base with the Ayatollah meeting. This was Israel literally dragging us in to the beginning of a third world war. And now Rubio's like, oh, no, Israel didn't drag us in. You can't deny the fact that 200 Israeli aircraft, 30 attacked the command base in Tehran with precision-guided AI bombs. And then Israel, we now learn, has hacked into all the cameras and, of course, released the video of them being blown up in the bunker and brags, oh, we're in all their cameras. It's just unbelievable. So Israel's trying to get us all killed. Netanyahu's trying to get us all killed. Tucker Carlson's totally right that Bibi's out of control. Israel's out of control. And Nick Fuentes is totally vindicated in his predictions of all of this. Because last year, you know, well, during the election 2 years ago, he said, Trump's going to go to full war with Iran. And I put pressure, we all did, and, you know, hoped that what happened last year, 9 months ago, wouldn't go all the way. But now we're here. And you read the Israeli papers and see the Likudniks, they don't even think about geopolitics. They don't think about Strait of Hormuz closed and China all angry with half its oil cut off. They just literally have all the articles. We run America. We're the superpower. Yeah, we're going to get Turkey next. I'll play the last Israeli prime minister bragging. We may have to hit Saudi Arabia. So we got megalomania going on right now. And we have little time to turn this back. So let's go to clip 16. This is Marco Rubio. Yesterday, like, hey, it's no big deal. Israel struck. We had to. So literally saying Israel drives our policy. This is an admission. Now they're trying to put that back in the bottle. I don't care what Rubio said. I said that Saturday. We already know this. So now he gaslights and says, oh, no, they didn't. Oh, no, they did. Here's the clip.
The United States conducted this operation with a very clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bared to be true because, in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first, before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
So Israel hits them. So we have to go to full war now. And they try to claim, oh, we're just trying to get their missiles now. No, Trump says, oh, we killed 40-something, now we're killing the rest. It's about regime change. So these are clear promises broken. This is clearly unconstitutional. Didn't get congressional authorization. This is full war. It's out of control. I appreciate Nick holding while I did a 10-minute intro. Nick Fuentes is our guest. And again, people say, this guy's pro-white. This guy's whatever. We have major universities saying no whites allowed. We have whites or the devil must be exterminated, New York Times. This is the natural response to that. So I don't want to hear a bunch of stuff. I always want to say that as a premise right up front. So Nick, you told us what was coming 2 years ago. You've been proven right. You know, you're like the new Alex Jones being right on things. So I want you to give your take on what's currently happening and then what you predict is going to come next. And is there any way to get Trump to extricate himself from this bear trap?
Well, I'll take the last question first. I think the answer is no. You know, and I was very pessimistic about the prospect of that going into this administration. As you know, in 2024, I said that Trump is the Iran war candidate. It was inevitable that Trump would take us to war. And as a matter of fact, I think that's a large reason why he got elected in the first place. I think that if you look at the election in 2020, it was obviously stolen and rigged. And so you say, well, how did he then come back and win in 2024? Well, clearly the riggers had to stand down and let him take office. And whether that's a combination of the media, social media, electioneering, whatever you want to say, they let him win. And I think they let him win because they knew that unlike Joe Biden and unlike the Democrats, he was going to have no hesitation, no reluctance whatsoever to engage Iran and its proxies, which, of course, he then did throughout 2025 and 26. So as to whether he can extricate himself from the situation, I don't think so. I think that over and over, we see the same pattern where whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, Israel triggers a confrontation with Iran. And the United States does its best, I think, in both cases, in a Democrat or Republican administration, to mitigate the severity of the confrontation. So Joe Biden used deterrence. I believe that Donald Trump last year wanted that midnight hammer strike to be the end of the nuclear program and one tap and the war. But of course, Israel has orchestrated all of these different confrontations. They're deliberately provoking and triggering them. And I think that was the same story here. What has happened, as you said, as Marco Rubio said yesterday, is that Israel came to the United States. Netanyahu came to the White House for, I believe, the sixth time since Trump took office for the second time. And he told Trump, we're going in. And you can join us or you cannot join us, but we're going to attack and your soldiers are going to be collateral damage. And so they forced our hand. And what is happening now, once again, is actually very much more of the same, which is that in the same way that in previous years, Washington and Tel Aviv actually diverge on their Iran policy. For example, Washington seeks denuclearization. Our doctrine is non-proliferation of WMDs. Our imperative is we don't want Iran to have the bomb. Israel, on the other hand, has always wanted regime change. And these are two completely different things. Israel seeks the termination, not just of the Ayatollah, but of the entire Islamic revolutionary government. And so that tension has characterized the three-way diplomacy between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. This war is more of the same. I believe that Trump went in knowing that Israel was going in. And I believe the play, to the extent that there is any kind of a plan, is Trump wants the Venezuela model. I'm sure that he, and I think Vance and the others as well, they thought they would go in hard and quickly against Iran, destroy the Navy, destroy the missile production, destroy the missile launch platforms, kill some of the top brass. And the expectation is that somebody from within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard would rise up as a pragmatist and negotiate with the United States for peace. And they would maintain Iran's government structure and security architecture while being pliant or compliant with the United States.
And by the way, you're not just speculating. They admit this, an insane gamble, just a crazy shot-in-the-dark gamble.
Yes, and that is the correct word. It's a gamble. That is totally a roll of the dice whether that will happen. We just don't know that. We don't know who that might be, if that will happen. Now further, this is why this is the ongoing divergence in Washington Tel Aviv policy. That's not going to be enough for Israel. Even if that was possible, let's say in your revolutionary, zealot, Shiite, theocratic government, you get a faction from the IRGC that wants to negotiate with Washington after they killed the Ayatollah and half the leadership and blew up the country. Even if that happens, will this satisfy Israel? The answer is no. Because what Israel is seeking is a total regime change. They want to install a liberal democratic government, maybe led by the Shah, or at least a transition led by the Shah. And why? So that they can manipulate the future state of Iran, as they did in Syria, as they did in Iraq, as they did in these other countries.
And that was my point from Saturday on, is you can look at this one-dimensionally, yeah, Muslims are bad, but the British and the U.S. and Israel always put worse people in, Hezbollah, al-Qaeda in charge of Syria. The idea that oh, the West is this fairy godmother creating My Little Pony heavens is bullshit.
Well, that's totally true, and not only that, but I think it's likely at this point that a hardliner regime takes power, because who's going to be left after these people watch their leaders get killed and their colleagues and their own countrymen get killed? I don't think they become more compliant. And it's a country of 90 million people. They have a million soldiers between all the security services. I don't know that they're just going to lay down and beg for mercy at this point. Why would they?
Americans, they are, even a pussified Americans wouldn't do that. The Vietnamese, they're not going to lay down. They're going to get more aggressive.
They will, and that plays into Israel's hands. Because then what this does is it basically reignites the pretext for war. So, you know, the language in the Trump admin is escalation. We're going to bomb them even harder. We're not ruling out boots on the ground. It can always get worse. And so maybe you get a ceasefire, a new regime comes to power, they don't surrender, and then we have to come up with a more permanent solution. And this is where now the U.S. is talking to the Kurds and talking about the Kurds maybe potentially being a ground force.
Now they're talking about breaking Iran up, which is the Israeli plan to break up every country there.
Right, as they did in Iraq, as they did in Syria, that's the textbook Israeli grand strategy. So yes, and that's the thing. You never see the end of the Iran war. It's always, this is just the latest climax. This is just the latest ceiling of hostilities between the U.S., Iran, and Israel, which have been ongoing for decades. And I don't think this is the end of it. So I don't know.
No, I totally agree. Do you think Trump even, I'm not trying to give him a get out of jail free card, but I actually know what your answer is. I know you're smart. Do you think Trump even understands this? And the answer is no.
No, I don't think so. And I think he just overestimates his abilities. I'm sure that in part, maybe they did Venezuela to build up his confidence, because Venezuela is a totally different story. 28 million people. The regime's not loyal.
They did the limited bombing thing and let him negotiate and have Israel stand down. They did that thing last year, I said, to get his confidence up with Iran.
You did say that. I remember I was down there and you said exactly that. And I think that is quite literally the play, which is you get that momentum, you get that inertia. And I'm sure they told him that this would create a deterrent effect. You do it to Venezuela, you can bring the force to Iran and say,
and
hey,
look, they got top psychologists, the really good ones, are studying Trump. I mean, they're pitching him bullshit, seeing what works, going back. I mean, it's disgusting.
It is, and they manipulate him. You know, people say it's blackmail. People say they got a tape of him. I don't think it's that complicated. I think that they surround him. They saturate his information diet, and, you know, and they form his opinions. They create the options. And the question is, where's the personnel? Where's Tulsi Gabbard? Isn't she the DNI? Where is she? Where's Vance? Where's Rubio? These are all supposed to be America first people that we were supposed to be excited about in the cabinet. And what we find from the Times is that not even a single one of them told Trump not to do it. And these were all ostensibly supposed to be against the endless wars, the Middle Eastern conflicts.
I didn't think you were wrong 2 years ago when you predicted this, or last year when you said it. I hope we could avert this. But clearly now, if you follow Trump's psychology, I think he just doubles down. So where does that go?
So I think that it will end in regime change one way or another. You know, what happens imminently is sort of unpredictable. It's hard to imagine how exactly the Iranians respond and what the Trump administration has up its sleeves in terms of escalation. But I think that Israel, clearly they're driving the policy. They've orchestrated all of these events. they're not letting go until there's a regime change. And what Israel wants, they get. So I think that before the 4 years are up, you're going to see a full-scale regime change. And for that to happen, there's going to need to be a ground presence. Maybe that's partial U.S., partially it's militia or it's Kurds. I believe that is what was driving the protests even a month ago. It was all in the western half of the country, in the Kurdish part. And they said that these were people clad in black and they had automatic weapons and they appeared to be trained. So I imagine it's going to be some kind of smart power, multi-domain operation with the militias armed, maybe from Iraqi Kurdistan, which shares the border, and maybe from Turkey. And I think there's going to be some kind of force that comes in and forces a transition. I think that's when you work out the math on that, I think that's all but inevitable. And it seems unlikely now, but it seemed unlikely that we'd be here. It seemed unlikely we'd be bombing Iran into submission or that we'd bomb their nuclear program a year ago. It just keeps escalating in that direction.
You predicted it because I watch your show. I watch clips almost every day, but whenever I can, I watch when I work out hours of it, you know, every few days. You literally, it was uncanny. I remember laid all this out 2 years ago. How did you know that? You just knew their policy.
They said it.
Yeah.
They said it openly. I appreciate you saying that. And it is true. I did predict it almost to the letter, but they were basically saying this in October 2023, right after the October 7th attacks. The Israelis all came out and they said, this is going to be a regional war. We're going to destroy all the proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, and then we're going to cut the head off the snake. They said, we're going to reset the international relations in the region that has prevailed for 50 years. And I think what they meant by that is this Islamic crescent headed by Iran, which was only the latest one after the Baathists, after the Arab coalition between Syria and Egypt. So I think that if you're really paying attention, even to the rhetoric from Trump, everybody forgets that the Israelis were whispering in Trump's ear that Iran was trying to assassinate him. Why do you think they did that? It's because they were already laying the groundwork. That was their pre-programming to sabotage that relationship so that they could tell him when he becomes president, hey, remember, they did try to kill you. And that was always meant to spoil diplomacy between the two countries.
Sure, let me ask you this question then. Why do the Israelis for 5 years wear on a lot of their uniforms the Greater Israel map? Why do they admit it in their newspapers, then attack us and censor us when we say it, and then have dozens of articles a day, I can't even keep track of them, saying, we run America, we're the new superpower, we're going to take out Turkey, we're going to take out our allies through Obama. You know, they took out and put the Muslim Brotherhood in. You know, they created Hamas. I mean, we're sitting here watching, it's not just Netanyahu, it's the other main party and their, you know, last prime minister saying, we're going to get Turkey and others next. I mean, And then they think we're going to go to war now with Turkey, the biggest conventional military in Europe. I mean, it's like there's this giant buffet, and Israel's like a 1,000-pound fat person that wants us to sit there and hand feed all this at our expense. I mean, this is just megalomania. So I know Israel's smart in an evil way, but why do they brag? And I guess to enrage everybody else that's awake, because that just adds to the furor. What's going on here?
I think that that is a deliberate provocation. I think that, you know, part of their entire MO is they actually need the conflict. They feed on the conflict. You know, all of this was the result from October 7th. And after all, what was October 7th? Well, they called it the Al-Aqsa flood operation. What is Al-Aqsa? That is the mosque. That's the Temple Mount. That's the Dome on the Rock, which is in Jerusalem, which is the center really of the occupied territory dispute. That the Palestinians claim East Jerusalem as the capital, and they claim that's their third holiest mosque in Islam. And what the Jews did that in Israel that precipitated the October 7th attack is they had all of these Jews go to the Dome on the Rock, go to the mosque in Jerusalem, to the Al-Aqsa compound, and they started doing their religious rites in a very provocative way. And actually, that was the precipitating cause.
And killing the red heifer.
Yes, finding the red heifer, the unblemished heifer and everything. And it was deliberately intended to provoke the Muslims into a response. And I think that the stuff about Greater Israel, the goal is the same. It is to provoke these countries into conflict, because ultimately that is the way they're going to achieve their goals, is to elicit hostility. And then that's the pretext to bring in the United States to fight their wars for them. And I think that's the playbook from day one. So that is all part of it. Telegraphing that, signaling that, that's all part of the sick agenda, sadly.
No, I agree. So let's unpack this and how do we stop it? How do we stop it? We'll be right back with Nick Fuentes. Stay with us here in Live Feeds Now. You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shut out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You know, people ask, who do I have on as guests on a routine basis? Whether economists, whether they're strategy people, security people, journalists, it's who is the most accurate. It's a really easy rule. I want to be accurate. I want to be smart. I want to be informed. The more knowledge I get, the more I want factoids. The more I want to, it all interconnects. And then I really disdain on the left, right, anything, people that just pick up talking points and act like they know something. And what's frustrating is 90% of these so-called journalists and influencers, literally, you talk to them in person, they don't know anything. They sit there like deer in the headlights. My callers are infinitely more knowledgeable because, you know, they're tuned in here. They probably were smart before they tuned in. That's why they look for something else smart. Bird of a feather fly together, flock together. But it's not about tuning our horns. It's about saying we need to save civilization and humanity. Nick Fuentes, you can disagree with his conclusions or what he thinks should be done sometimes, but you can't disagree with his analysis and the fact that he goes up against top geopolitical, you know, White House advisors with 5 degrees and kicks their ass. So respect needs to be due. But also, it's not just the globals we're fighting. It's the low IQ people that we've woken up who are more like in high school and they want to, in a hierarchy, say, you know, everybody's a globalist, but them, it's something that the Israelis and the other lobbies feed with bots to make us fight with each other so we don't recognize the organic leaders that God has given us to lead us out of this. So I want to just say that right up front, that I respect Nick Fuentes because he knows what he's talking about. I can disagree on the final product of thousands of points to go together or say maybe this is better, and sometimes he's right more than I am. The difference is he knows what he's talking about. And I am sick and tired of having to debate low-grade morons that don't even know how to find their ass with both hands. So, Nick, let me throw this out at you because we got a lot of time here, and I appreciate it. But I want you to quantify before we go to these clips and unpack this and what you think's coming next, what you predict next, how we can stop this, which you already said we can't, which we still got to try. I think you're right. I'm about to evacuate to South America or something. That's where all the globalists are going. But here's my question. Looking at all of this, is there, and I want you to think about this. I know you already said no. What could we do? A peaceful demonstration? I don't know, hang something on our doorway, or we all, liberals would say mass strike. I don't want to join them in that because then you're allied with Islam. Is there any way to get Trump off this destructive course we're on? And then maybe describe to people, because you predicted the future, where this course takes us. Nick Fuentes.
Well, as I said, I'm very pessimistic about that. And the reason being is because when you look at the numbers, it's not popular. You know, they did all the polls this weekend. You got Washington Post, Reuters. I think there's a few others. And the approval rating for the conflict is sitting at about 30%, right around 30%, maybe just under that. And Trump has to know this is an utter betrayal of his campaign promise of no new wars. And he's the peace president and so on. So as far as a massive demonstration, what is that supposed to demonstrate? That the war is unpopular? They know the war is unpopular. Is that supposed to demonstrate that we're dissatisfied? They know we're dissatisfied. And I think that that gets back to the nature of it, which is that it is a gamble. And I think that Trump is counting on the fact, well, let's actually be honest for a moment here about it. Trump is counting on the fact or the possibility that this works, that this little gambit pays off. And we bomb Iran a lot for a week. It's quick and it's hard. And then we leave and we get what we want. And there's minimal loss of life. If it is successful, I think people on our side may even be underestimating the appetite for something like that among the general public. If it's a big victory or if they're able to plausibly claim victory, it may even be popular. And so I think Trump is actually okay with this. I think that Trump, the way he sees it, because he said this the other day, he said, I don't care about approval ratings. He said, and I'll put boots on the ground. I don't care. Now, obviously he cares on some level, but I think in his mind, this is
He better care about a bunch of dead troops. I mean, you talk about, we're talking, it'll make Vietnam numbers look tame.
Well, it depends on what they do. If it's a full-scale invasion, you're absolutely right, because they will try to inflict maximum casualties, and it will get ugly. It will be like Iraq.
There's already special forces there before this happened. I'm talking about a real invasion to, quote, secure the Strait of Hormuz or whatever. That's how they'll start it. It's a disaster.
Right, yeah, and I agree, and I think that, you know, on some level he obviously cares about these things, but this is part of the bluff. This is part of the gambit, which is, you know, partially I think some of the things he's saying is meant to signal to the Iranians that things could get worse. If the goal, if the outcome that you desire is for a pragmatic faction to take power, negotiate with the United States, well, to persuade them that that is the logical course, you would actually need to convince them that things could get worse.
And that's why they just had the council meeting to elect a new mullah who didn't want peace right now. They just killed them today. So he's hoping like maybe the next group's less radical. But as you said on your show a few days ago, and it's true, as you go down the chain, they get more radical and stupider.
Yes, and that is why he's trying to persuade them that it could always get worse. I'm sure in their mind, in Trump's mind, he's thinking that these Iranians expect that maybe they could ride out the storm if they could survive, if they could hide out in shelters, then maybe there's going to be some continuity of government. And Trump is trying to persuade them that if they don't capitulate, it could get worse. The bottom could continue to fall out from under them.
And by the way, they really don't want you. Influence farmers will say you just endorsed Trump. No, when you war game what he's thinking, you're not endorsing that.
Right. No, we're purely speculating about his state of mind and what his approach is. And so
you see the clips of you where they take you war gaming and say that's your the same thing to me. That's what they do. I just want to get that out there.
They always. Yeah, well, and I consider those people to be third worldists because they're really arguing for Iran in and of itself. Or Venezuela in and of itself, or China. And me, I look at Iran not as a great country. I mean, they're a Muslim theocracy, but I look at them as a country that, one, they're a sovereign state, so I don't think we have business going in and killing their leader.
And
their
potential to destroy us and bring down the economy. So.
Right. And I would go further than that. They balance Israel. There's a balance between Iran and Israel. I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world, because if you have two very powerful states.
Israel needs to be contained. Now that, why are they now publicly admitting everywhere? I'm sure you've seen it that, yeah, we're taking everything, including their allies. Like it'd be like if my neighbor said, yeah, I just went over and screwed my neighbor's wife and your wife's next.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a provocation. It's intended to be provocative. They actually do not want peace in the region. And all of this is based on fueling this ongoing conflict. They don't want it.
Stood down on October 7th. Same reason they founded Hamas.
Yes, and Americans are under the impression that we're desperate to make a deal, and there's this peace that is just always elusive, always out of reach. If only the Muslims would just relax. But it takes two to tango here. The Israelis, they are the ones that actually want the conflict. They didn't want a deal with Iran. If they get a deal with Iran, that they don't get to topple the Iranian regime. If Iran gets a deal with the United States, maybe they give up their nukes on some timeline, but they also get to normalize their trade relations and diplomatic relations with all the countries
exactly.
in the region.
Exactly. Israel wants to keep it in no man's land and keep them in the timeout box.
Yes, they want to maintain that kind of operational control like they had in Syria, where they can control the airspace and they can just drop bombs, and then they could ultimately control the outcome in that country and make it significantly weaker. So that's the sick logic of Israel's grand strategy.
We have a full sales job now by Netanyahu, Trump, and now Vance. We have the clips that it may last a little while, a long time. It may last forever. We're being sold on a forever war right now. And so here's my problem. I don't want the Democrats opening the border. I like Trump killing the carbon tax. I like the no tax on tips. You know, there's all this good stuff, but rapidly, like, I can like ignore some stuff and hold my nose with Trump, but quickly, I mean, by the hour, I morally cannot be part of this. You're already there saying vote Democrat. I get you're saying that as a carrot and the stick, but I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I think you have to. I think you have to vote Democrat in 26, and I'll tell you why. I mean, we're being told always that the Republicans are the lesser of two evils, that, you know, they're going to be marginally better than the Democrats. Look at all of the broken promises. Epstein files, that's huge. It's huge. And let's be honest, they tried to cover it up. It's not like they fumbled that. It's not like they made a mistake. They engaged in an active cover-up, and they failed only because of a revolt within their own party. And now Marjorie Greene is an outcast. She was like the MAGA congresswoman. She was like the one in Congress who came after Trump won the election. She's an outcast because she led the coup to get the Epstein files released. That's a big one. Then you got the deportations. They haven't started on the border wall. And even though they secured the border, you know, look, they secured the border in 2020. What good did that do when Joe Biden came into power? Nothing, because then he just overturned all the executive orders and they came pouring in. That's why you need the wall. They haven't started it. 230,000 deportations. It isn't happening. And now we're in a regime change war with Iran. In, you know, you've been around. I've been around, not as long as you, but for some time. Regime change in Iran is like synonymous with the neocons' ultimate master plan. That is like the number one thing on Israel's wish list.
It's the jewel in the crown. It was their, the whole Middle East strategy and the rebuilding America's defenses PNAC plan 2020 or 2000 was this.
Yes, and even further than that, going back to clean break in 96, this has always been the plan. And for a time, we thought that was unthinkable. We thought that Trump winning made that impossible. So for Trump to be the one to take us there and sell it and push it and trigger it, and now we're in a regime change war with Iran, it's almost unbelievable to even say that. Thousands of American and Israeli airstrikes destroying Iran's military. Here's how I feel about it. If you will tolerate that, you will tolerate anything. At what point do you say no? What point do you say there's no excuses? People say, well, if there's boots on the ground, boots on the ground. Dude, they're dropping bombs everywhere, and it's in Iran. So for me, I said, that's the last straw. I'm out. And you know me, I'm the furthest thing from a Democrat. I'm far right. I'm not left wing or even liberal. I don't consider myself even a center liberal or
Let's talk about that. Democrats get in. Isn't that accelerationist?
No, I think that I don't know that I would characterize it as accelerationist. I would characterize it as corrective. And it's sending a message to the GOP before the big one, which is 28.
Yeah, you're saying the only leverage we've got is the wake-up call.
Right. And, you know, 28, we got to win that one. I really believe a Republican's got to win. But we need it to be the right Republican. And I don't know that there's any other language they will understand other than to show them we're not showing up in 26. And what's more, I also think that Vance and Rubio are to blame in this as well. If they couldn't stop a war in Iran when they're in power now, how are they going to make the decision when they become the president?
We knew Rubio's a deep state guy. He's been, quote, doing a good job for what we wanted till now. But Vance was an open thing. He's come out now and said we may be there in a long war. So Vance is definitely getting in line with that. In fact, speaking of the devil, let's go to those clips first. Here's Thune, the leader of the Senate, saying Trump doesn't need a war powers. He has authorization, which no, he doesn't. This is pure war, folks. This is not blow up their weapons. This is regime change. And then Vance saying the same thing and then saying basically this could be a forever war. And then I want to go through these other clips, but here it is.
Well, do you think the Congress would need to authorize any military action against Iran beyond the 60-day or 90-day window?
No. I think the president has the authority that he needs to conduct the activities, the operations that are currently underway there. As you know, there's a lot of controversy around questions around the War Powers Act, but I think the president is acting in the best interest of the nation and our national security interests by ensuring that he's protecting Americans and American bases and installations in that region, as well as those of our allies.
We'll go back and get Nick Fuentes' take on this, but Marco Rubio yesterday, Israel launched the attack, they were going to attack us, we had to attack them because they would attack us if we attacked them. Thune just said, we attacked them, so they're going to attack us, so now we have to authorize the war. So we attack somebody, so the president has a War Powers Act because he has the power to attack somebody. I mean, this is insane. Continue.
The United States has a lot of optionality here. And, you know, we could go for a little bit longer, we could go for a lot longer, but I think the president just wants to make it clear to the Iranians and to the world that he is not going to rest until he accomplishes that all-important objective of ensuring that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, not just for the next few years, not just because we obliterated Fordow or some other enrichment facility, but because the Iranians themselves commit long-term to not building a nuclear weapon.
So we've gone from oh, we successfully destroyed their nuclear stuff, which I said was BS, to now total war. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, they said last year that the program was completely obliterated. And, you know, we've almost even talked past the point. It's sort of interesting. Last year, the pretext for bombing Iran in the first place was that they were racing towards a nuclear bomb. When Israel hit Iran on June 13, 25, they said, well, Iran was going to strike us and they were racing towards a device. That's why we had to preempt that by striking them. And then, of course, the U.S. intervened to finish the job at Fordo and Natanz, which only we could do with the bunker busters from the B-2 bombers. Well, then in January, when these protests started in Iran, all of a sudden that shifted and Trump came out and said, well, we were going to attack Iran, but we couldn't topple the regime in one blow. And you say, well, wait a second. I thought Israel and the United States attacked Iran last year because they were on their way to a nuke. But then we took care of it and we blew up their program. Now they're saying, well, we couldn't bomb Iran at our discretion in January because it wasn't going to topple the regime. And you say, topple the regime? I thought it was about the nuclear program. And like you say, now we're in it. Now we're in a full-fledged regime change war. And you wonder, who made this decision exactly? Who voted for this? Why is this happening? Arguably, it is within, I think, America's interest to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. And if they're about to imminently acquire them, a case could be made. I don't know that I would make it, but in a theoretical, a case could be made that the United States might preempt that by intervening in Iran.
In that cover story, and Trump says, oh, we killed 47, now we'll kill the rest. It's all about regime change now, which under the law is illegal to preemptively attack somebody saying, I want regime change. So Trump's being set up here with major impeachment charges.
Well, and they're throwing everything out there. It's the dead protesters. It's the nuclear program. It's the missiles. It's just like Iraq. It's exactly like Iraq. Oh, they're building a nuke, but also they did the anthrax plot, also 9/11. They just throw everything out there in the hopes that enough people are going to buy it. And like you said, there's nothing legal about this. What is the authorization for the use of force against Iran? Did Congress declare war? At what point was this decision made and exactly by whom? So I don't know that this is impeachable because ironically, the Democrats supported too. Chuck Schumer came out of the closed door hearing with Marco Rubio at the State of the Union or the afternoon of and said, well, this is very serious and Trump's just going to have to make his case. There's a lot of Democrats that support this, guys like John Fetterman, among others.
They're stepping back and did not take any problems if it goes sideways, but they're behind it.
100%, 100%, I think so. And I don't think they would move against him for that. So,
here's Trump saying that no, he forced Israel's hand, even though on record the Pentagon admitted, no, we didn't know. They took the opportunity, so we had to hit. The Secretary of State says that Trump makes him come out and say that wasn't true. Talk about congressional hearings now. What's going to happen to Rubio when he's in front of Congress? So this is very embarrassing right now. Here is Trump saying that they made him force that Trump forced Israel's hand to strike first during the middle of the day against our doctrine. And then why do you think Rubio came out yesterday and said Israel forced their hand? What do you think the impetus behind that was? Here it is.
President, did Israel force your hand to launch these strikes against Iran? Did that help pull the United States into this war?
No, I might have forced their hand. You see, we were having negotiations with these lunatics. And it was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack. If we didn't do it, they were going to attack first. I felt strongly about that. And we have great negotiators, great people, people that do this very successfully and have done it all their lives very successful. And based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first. And I didn't want that to happen. So if anything, I might have forced Israel's hand. But Israel was ready and we were ready and we've had a very, very powerful impact.
Well, since the 80s, Iran has not launched an attack first. Every attack has been a response, a retaliatory attack. I mean, that is literally pulled out of Trump's butt, Nick.
It is. And that's exactly what happened last year, too. Israel came in and Trump said, oh, we knew they were doing it. They told us and the whole negotiations were a ruse. It's almost just childish to see Trump in the White House spin. Well, actually, I forced Israel to do it. this is when Trump just becomes grating. You know, all those things we thought were charming 10 years ago or endearing or funny, now it's just grating and insufferable. He's obviously full of it. That there's nothing true about that at all. This idea that, like you say, that Iran was about to attack us, really? We have two carriers there. We got a dozen warships, 50,000 soldiers, half of our Air Force, and Iran was going to start the war against us. Does that even make any sense? That is completely made up.
And then Rubio and the idea, says Israel launched an attack, so we had to, because they were going to attack us. Now Trump goes, no, they were going to attack us with no information. I mean, I'm sorry, folks. I wanted to support Trump. I support the killing the carbon. That's why I hate this, because he's done a lot of good. We're watching Trump self-immolate on live television.
It is. It's a complete unraveling, and it's clear what happened there. I think, look, J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, they want to run for president in 28, so they know that their butt is on the line here. If this Iran war doesn't go well, there go their presidential ambitions. And so I think that when Rubio comes out and says, well, Israel made us do it, obviously, this is like a real-time narrative construction, so that when in 28 he's questioned about it on the debate stage, if this becomes a debacle, this is hedging, he can say, well, we didn't have any options. We had the choice. Either we go in with Israel at the beginning or Americans die. Well, I chose to, you know, that's going to be the argument. That's going to be the campaign speech. That'll be the, you know, screenshot this. In a few years, that is what he's going to say on the debate stage. We had a choice. If we didn't act, then more Americans would have died. And I stood with Trump. We made the bold decision to go in and blah, blah. That is clearly going to be the answer.
And by the way, you're on
and
a roll. You're on a roll. We got a whole other hour coming up, but let me just stop you. I said at the first of the show, they're going to use the insurance company shutting down the Strait of Hormuz as the claim that we've got to put a beachhead on the Iranian side so they can't close it to secure it for trade. I said, I believe that'll be the excuse for boots on the ground, which they floated in the last 2 days, which Eric Prince freaked out about rightfully. Ladies and gentlemen, he just put this out. Show the timestamp on this, guys. Scroll down. Pull it up. I just saw this now. Trump is now saying he signed an executive emergency order basically for war. If anybody tries to close the strait, it's already closed. So this is him using economic emergency powers to have an unofficial declaration of war. Nick, this is horrible. This is really bad. This is boots on the ground. So this is just a few minutes ago. What do you make of this, Nick Moynihan?
Well, it's like I said, we're being drawn in here. That is really the operative word. Nobody wants this. It's not in our interest. We are being slowly drawn in. And what that implies is that step by step, we're being dragged further into this. And that's always what happens. It always starts with, we're just putting maximum pressure sanctions. Well, we just killed Qasem Soleimani. Well, we just backed a cyber attack. It's always, we just did this one time. And all it does is increase our liability. It just increases our stake in this disaster. And so it was very obvious. Okay, we go in with the bombs really hard. We destroy the Navy. We destroy the missile launch platforms. Okay, well, then you get this logic like, well, you break it, you bought it. Now Iran inevitably is going to keep throwing missiles at us. We're running out of interceptors. So what do you do now? Iran is going to close the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to shut down 20% of the oil trade. What do you do now? Again, you're being drawn in step by step, and our share of this, our stake in this, is always increasing until you wake up and you find you're in this unthinkable scenario. So that's why I say, yeah, I don't know that we can rule out boots on the ground in the future.
Oh, but that's the plan. People go, oh, the executive order just says they'll protect the ships. Yeah, they're going to do it with troops. I already saw it. People, we got a whole other hour coming up, but how people find you, Nick?
I am at rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes. I'm live every weeknight, and I'm on Twitter, Nick J. Fuentes as well.
And I'm at Real Alex Jones on X and the Alex Jones Show on Rumble. Everybody, we've survived so much. Nobody thinks we're going to shut down. The state receiver is refusing to pay the internet bills, refusing to keep the company open. So it looks like we're shutting down this month, towards the end of the month. We have the backup network. Just be ready, people. If you survive so much, you'll take it serious. Just get ready to share. Here's where Alex is at. Because I don't cry wolf. I just survive a long time. We'll be right back with our number four. We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now her credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out
of touch. Now, a lot of men particularly, men's brains are designed, the cerebral cortex, in the areas of the brain, there's like triple the connections that a woman has to strategy. And that's why men love chess, men love football, it's all strategy. But you fill your head with that. Those are literal Roman bread and circuses the Romans wrote about to distract their men, not to be politically involved. My cerebral cortex is focused on politics. So I have a lot of facts, a lot of overlaying information in history. This is a short segment. Long time coming up with Nick Fuentes, but it's so frustrating to actually know how this works and see what's moving on the chessboard, and it's not in America's interest or anybody's interest, but tyrants, to understand the historical danger of all of this. And I don't really have words, Nick, to talk about when you look out second order, third order, fourth order consequences of this, why privately the chairman of the Joint Chiefs told Trump don't do it, Eric Prince, many others. And, you know, we have Trump and J.D. Vance and compilations saying we're not going to go to boots on the ground. We're not going to go to regime change. They're doing it. Can you speak to what you predict happens down this road we're going? And just there's got to be other ways of leverage. If we can't leverage Trump, who do we put pressure on in Congress to stop this? Or is AIPAC too powerful?
I think what has been set in motion cannot be stopped at this point. I think that the time to do it would have been in 24, and everybody reassured us that if Trump won, well, we would pressure Trump later. I remember Mike Cernovich said that. He said, well, this is how politics works. You know, you don't know how politics works. I do. He said, you got to get Trump elected, and then we're going to work in the admin, and we're going to fight the personnel and blah, blah. And this is, I know we've had this conversation. This is always my refrain. It's like, we tried that. We did that. We did that in the first term. And by the way, how did the first term end? Trump ripped up the 2018 nuclear deal. In 2019, we're effectively in a war with Iran. In 2020, he kills Qasem Soleimani. We're shooting down drones. They're attacking tankers. You can Google it. There's an article, I believe it was in December 2020. Trump actually ordered the military to attack Iran, or at least was considering it. in the lame duck session. And it was only his generals that discouraged him from doing it. So it's like, this is deja vu all over again. We live this and we tried all that. The personnel, the voting, the Twitter campaign, the hashtags. And I think that, you know, now Trump is going to do what Trump is going to do. And Trump, who knows why? Blackmail, persuasion, whatever. Those people are around him.
It's ego. You said it an hour. It's ego.
It's ego, certainly. Whatever it is, that's what we're stuck with. And I think that if you want to really get it to stop, you just got to switch up and play both sides. You got to play both sides and go Democrat. And I don't want to do it. You know, I don't like the Democrats. I fully understand what they represent, but what else can you do to the Republicans? All that other stuff is flaccid. Protest, tweet about it. They know if you are going to vote in November that you're really not serious. You know, you're going to go and rah, 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 hold up the sign. But as long as they get your vote in the end, I mean, honestly, what difference does it make for them? There's a little less enthusiasm. They don't care. So I'm really, like I said, I think that we actually have to think beyond this. And we have to think the only way out of it is 28. How do we relight the flame in 28? That's all I care about. And for that to happen, maybe there needs to be a little pain. You know, the current GOP has to suffer a little bit for it to be reborn in 28. But it's not going to be Vance and Rubio that save the day, obviously, based on this.
Well, I would say this. I may agree with you if we say we're not going to accept, we're not going to support. I would almost call it like a candidate by candidate basis. And then if somebody's a neocon, or we do a litmus test. If they support this, they shouldn't be voted for. I almost see it as like a loyalty pledge. But let's come back because the French are sending their aircraft carrier to protect one of the main corridors there, Suez Canal. And Trump is now basically saying they're going to send in U.S. ships into the Strait of Hormuz, which is a total trap. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
I don't want people to miss the historic point we're at right now. The fourth turning, the end of the old order, the populist revolutions happening everywhere, and then Trump betraying what he said he would do. I have compilations of him saying no boots on the ground, no full war. And here we are, and it's all unraveling in real time. The Strait of Hormuz has already been closed by insurance companies after Iran began to attack ships and blew up and sunk a few in the last 3 days. And now Trump signs an executive order saying, we'll do whatever we have to for open shipping. We'll put troops on the ground in the Strait of Hormuz on their side. We're going to have military escorts through there. The announcements are being made off his plan. I mean, this is escalating to the next level immediately. And this is why Eric Prince and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and others told Trump, Iran's not going to give up. You're not going to get regime change. You have 99% chance right away. You're not going to get in 4 weeks or 6 weeks or a year. Now they're prepping us for just an endless war. So now we're against Europe with its plan to prop itself up with endless war with Russia. And now America has its plan for this. We didn't vote for this. We didn't sign up for this. And again, they might have attacked us when Israel attacked them, said Rubio yesterday, so we had to attack them. And when they hit our ships, which Iran knew Then they hit a few ships. They close it with insurance. Then they send in the U.S. ships. Then the Iranians attack those ships. And they'll go, oh, my God, they attacked us. All we're doing is blowing them up. And then now Trump says we got to put troops on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz to protect us. I said it in the first hour. It's happening in live time. Nick, this is like a bad dream.
It is. It feels surreal. I still can't even believe it. Even though I've been predicting it and even though we're watching it, I wake up and I see the news. We are at war with Iran. And for people that are not paying attention to all this stuff, again, it cannot be overstated. This is like, it's literally the neocon nightmare scenario, like war with Iraq, Syria, now Iran. You
this
just
is
go
the
like,
ghost of the neocons possessing us. This is their wet dream.
Yes, and for Trump to be the one delivering it, that's the most surreal aspect of all of it. You could see a DeSantis doing this. You could see a Kamala Harris doing this, honestly. But to see Donald Trump on Friday night at Mar-a-Lago with the hat on, with the black curtain telling, announcing this war, building the case against the Iranian regime, you go, what happened? What happened to this movement? You know, I mean, you and I, we've been with Trump really since the beginning, since 2015. And when he came down the escalator, his first big move was basically to destroy this Republican support for war and the war in Iraq in particular, repudiate that whole legacy of the Bush dynasty, George Bush, Jeb Bush. And so for him now to be doing this, it really feels like it's come full circle.
And we have Lindsey Graham having orgasms on television.
That too. Yeah, Lindsey Graham's a huge fan of this. Well, endorsed by Trump. So, I mean, again, this is my frustration. The signs were all there. J.D. Vance said at the Republican convention in 2024, we need to bomb Iran really hard. And Trump endorsed Lindsey Graham. This time he endorsed him 6 years ago. And Trump got up, you remember, during the election, and he said, if Iran takes me out, then we're going to wipe Iran off the map. Like, all of this was telegraphed from the beginning. And really, you know who I blame, sadly? I blame the so-called plan trusters. I know that you were more bullish on Trump, but you acknowledged these were legitimate concerns. There were a lot of people that said, no.
Stop. Because you've been righter than me on this, and I'm not always right. I'm right about 90% of the time. I've been very honest. So I'm gonna now mea culpa here, because when I'm wrong, I'm going to say it publicly. I needed Trump to be real, and so much good stuff, the carbon tax, getting out of it, I can go for an hour, and it's still better than that, but you can't have lesser two evils. I have the Democrats trying to put me in prison. I just got subpoenaed again to defend when I got Arctic Frost. I got to go to Congress and provide my documents because we're going after, Jack Smith. So the Democrats are trying to put me in prison. They run show trials on HBO. So obviously, it's not that I'm being paid off by Trump. I've been persecuted for supporting him. So I want to now pay out on this. I want to save the country, secure the border, find the missing kids. I want to believe. But I'm not in a cult. I'm not delusional. So I was like, I'm critical. This is overall good. But and now I'm just like, now I'm having to think of the off-ramp. Nick, we've talked about this privately. You know, you're targeted too. They're going to kill you at your house. Your name's Nick J. Fuentes. I'm Alex E. Jones. We're real people. We're under attack. So we're in the real world. You do what you think's right. I do what I think's right. You're not paid by people. We're just our fans. So to me, I needed Trump as my lifeboat may not be perfect, but it's the lifeboat I've got. And I'm watching it sink by its own doing. And so this is horrifying. But I can't sign on to covering up Epstein. I can't sign on to World War III. And so that's why I tried to promote the optimism, because I fucking need this, man. Like, I want to fix the country. I want to turn it around. So it's not that I was delusional. I still hope we can turn it around, but I just, sorry, go ahead. You get what I'm saying?
I get it. And I, listen, like I said, I don't think that everybody that supported Trump was being dismissive about these concerns. I get it. You know, we all wanted to believe. I was 18 years old when Trump ran in 2016. And I remember getting in fights with people. This is my whole life too. At 18 years old, I wore the MAGA hat at Boston University, one of the most liberal campuses in the country, and became a pariah on my college campus.
It's sad to see something you sacrificed. It's sad to see something you fought, bled for, die.
Yeah, and that's my whole adult life. I know that's a huge part of your life also, and now we're witnessing it's totally unraveling. It's an utter and complete betrayal. It's heartbreaking in many ways.
And when I try to salvage it with people, I get attacked as a liberal, which is when these people doing that can't even find Iran on a fucking map.
Yeah, well, what's called for is for us to be sober-minded about the entire thing. You know, because there's a lot of Trump haters.
No, you're right. I've been a realist the whole time, but was hoping, and now I'm just not even hoping. I'm just going to be a realist.
Yeah, I mean, and really, it's okay to have hope. I mean, we hope for a better future, but we got to be brutally honest about what this administration has become. It's like, you know, I saw this game play out in the first term, and I remember I went to D.C. in 2018. I met with people from the admin, and me being like 20, I was like, is Q real? Is there a plan? Is there a five-dimensional chess? Is this all like going to end in building a wall and so on? And they looked at each other and they laughed in my face and they said, bro, I said, it is worse than you could possibly imagine.
Oh, I've been at the top of the Justice Department and they literally they laughed at me and they said, no, we mean well, but you have no idea about it. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, and anyone will tell you that. Anyone from Trump 1, any of the good guys from Trump 1, any of the people in Trump 2, they will tell you the exact same thing. It is brutal.
And that's right, and I will not come on air and lie to my audience about the situation, because I believe in them. If they know how desperate it is again, we will rise the occasion. I mean, I'm not going to sell hopium. It's just that clear.
And it's tough. I mean, it's tough because you're right. I mean, what other option do we have? That's really the question. People say, well, what else is there?
Well, because that's it. I'm Trump. So sad to have to start turning loose of something that had so much potential.
Yeah.
Like a grandma dying or something.
Well, it's sort of literally, I mean, he's kind of getting up there, you know? So it's very tragic and sad. And sadly, there's no alternative. I think it would be a little bit easier on all of us if there was any underclassmen here.
Exactly. I was about to say, there's no stable of new horses here.
Yeah, and I see that as a big failure of Trump, because it should have been a whole new stable. It should have been a new generation of MAGA congressmen and senators. You know, like, where's our AOC? Well, they all got cannibalized. Madison Cawthorn got destroyed by the Republicans. Matt Gaetz got destroyed by the Republicans. Marjorie Greene got, so you had a few of them.
And not as many as there should have been. Gets vaporized by Susie Wiles.
Yep.
By the way, I confirmed 3 months ago with Flynn. He showed me the stuff. They're running opposition on hundreds of people. Flynn, myself, by the way, I told you this. They're running major opposition research on not the Democrats, but on us, because they know we're true. That's another level of this. Like, how's that feel?
Yeah, and that people have no idea, but that has always been the struggle inside the GOP. That is always how it's been, which is that the establishment is always at war with its own base.
It's fratricide.
I don't even know that it's fratricide, because these people aren't even like us. You know,
we're the real deal, and they're. What does the doppelganger always do? The thing or the body snatcher? It kills the real thing.
Exactly. Well, that's invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah, so they're the body snatchers. You're right. It's not fratricide. The body snatchers want to get rid of the real one.
Yeah. It's that skin suit. They take the organic mass movement. They try to mimic it as best as possible, and then they eliminate the actual movement. That was the Tea Party. I just talked to Michelle Malkin this week. And she said, you know, we ran the same playbook 20 years ago. We ran the same playbook in 2006 when we would campaign against the rhinos in favor. Yeah, I know
The crew's telling me about clips. I was listening to you. They were like, Alex, you're supposed to reveal this big White House thing. We're still in the next segment. I was listening to you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, this has been a multi-generational struggle. You go back to the John Birchers and National Review. You could go back to the paleocons and the neocons, Pat Buchanan, Sam Francis, Joseph Sobran versus the neocons, Tea Party, right up through to the Trump movement. And I always sort of knew right around 2018, 2019, that the biggest gap is that Trump is not an institutionalist or an institutionalizer. He is actually not going to create the so-called movement conservatism of the Trump generation. Who's going to fill in the gaps? It's all the same people. It's all the same money.
And what you just said is beyond key. His strength is he's not institutional, but when he leaves, that's our greatest weakness, because there's nothing staying. There's nothing left there.
Exactly. And that's why it's now backsliding. You know, the personnel, there is no cadre of radical Trump supporters to fill up this White House. He still has to rely on the old guard.
Let's look at Iran in a good way, a bad way. They've got even more radicals below, so they knock out the elite. It doesn't matter. They just get stronger. With us, there's no second bench.
Well, yeah, there's no bench at all. Trump said it himself today. He said, I'm MAGA, not Tucker, not Megyn Kelly. He said, it's just me. And you go, really? It's just, so it's not Tucker. It's not Marjorie. It's not Thomas Massey. It's just you and your war with Iran and your Epstein
any
files.
Real thinker, I've told you probably earlier, Nick, I respect you. Disagree with something you say, but you're a leader. You care. I'm like, you're the future, Nick. We're counting on you. A real leader immediately recognizes younger bulls that are going to lead the people in the future. That's what a tribal leader does. With Trump, it's this ego thing where anybody else being strong is bad. And as he gets older, it's worse. It's sick.
You're right. That's like a boomer thing. That's the baby boomers, or he's 1946. This is like a baby boomer thing. They will not like let us have anything. They're hoarding the wealth. They're hoarding these like fiefdoms. You're right. It is an ego thing. And at the end of the day, that is really his issue. Nobody wants to admit it. It's actually brave of you to say that because that's a huge thing. A lot of people say, oh, it's his advisors. He's getting bad advice. It's his personnel. It's him.
Now, I said back in March, it's him coming up, Epstein. All because he loves the power of protecting all these scumbags. He's not involved. He loves the power over him. He's not even in the blackmail. He's just in general, I'll take care of it. Bullshit, you will, man. And that's my concern is how do I not go totally psychotic and go all out anti-Trump because I still want to get Republicans elected because they're better. That's a real needle to thread here. That's what I'm trying to do, Nick.
It's tough. Like you said, I mean, because we're also trying to stay out of jail. You know, we're literally between a rock and a hard place. The Democrats want to kill us and flood the country with immigrants. The Republicans want to send us to die for Israel. So you go, okay, well, I mean, it's really hard to win here.
Oh, Todd Blanche, let me be clear. They're trying to figure out how to put several hundred of us, this is confirmed, insiders, Flynn, they told Flynn, they're trying to put us in jail, bro. We don't have 3 years anymore. We have Todd Blanche trying to do it now.
Under what pretext?
They just like to open a national security investigation under Obama in 2013. They got the FBI. We know because the FBI doesn't like it. As bad as they are, they're like, what is this? Like, really? They got jihadi sleeper cells. They are literally over 200 people. They have FBI national security dragnets going on us right now. When I said opposition research, that's just the name of it. No. The Republican Party is now looking at all of us that have any soul, and they see us as the enemy.
We got to get out of Dodge, man. I don't know what country you're dropping in at, but that's the saddest part. You know, the whole country's coming down. The GOP's coming down. It's hard to kind of figure out what that next move is. That's why, for me, I keep my options open.
Used to head up the Army and then in the Defense Intelligence. He got confirmed. He won't give me classified stuff, but they're like, sir, they got a whole opposition thing to take us down, and you're at the top. And they say it's a bunch of names. And he's like, so, yeah, no, they're literally not worried about Democrats. They're going to put them in jail. They're literally worried about loyal Americans. And to the Pentagon's credit, they're like, this is bullshit. Like, I've had all these Delta Force current guys, all of them call me, thank you, we're not going to go along with this. They're all freaking out, which is the good news. They have the Pentagon, bro, tasked to spy on us as the enemy when we're the real Americans. I mean, imagine the wake-up call in Tampa that they're like, we're not tasked for Muslims, we're tasked for Nick Fuentes and General Flynn and Alex Jones. Yeah, just give you that newsflash.
Yeah, well, that's the story of the admin, you know. Bill Clinton is being protected. Hillary, Obama, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's always this cope, like, well, you know, here's how Trump can still win.
That's what I'm saying. You're right, because we learned this the last 60 days. I told you this on the phone. I don't know if it got through because I talk fast. Dude, we're the focus because they know we're not sellouts. They're like, looking, we got it all. We got Trump under control. Who will block us? And they're literally getting rid of Ed Martin, creating files on us. And they're pissed because there's nothing there. What, like your most decadent actions were getting a pizza, right? That's your big party. Exactly. Me too. And I don't mean that's a pedophile thing. I mean, like you're getting a steak or whatever. They literally, though, are enraged because they can't find anything on us. They won't charge the Muslims. They won't charge the Somalis stealing billions. But literally, the eye of the White House is on us because they're worried we'll influence Trump.
That's always been, you know, the GOP has always been cannibalizing the authentic base. That's just it. And that's why I've always said the GOP is really our biggest enemy. It's not even the Democrats, because at least the Democrats are the devil, you know, and you know that they're your enemy. But it's always these Republicans. They say, we're going to take the fight, hold the line, all this. And then they always turn the cannons inward and shoot at their own people. That has always been the story. So, you know, I tell my followers, take your own side. The GOP is not looking out for you. They're not fighting your enemies. They're not securing advantages
for you.
Well, that's
right. America first in our America survival. In fact, I'm going to start the America Survival Party. America first is great. America only. How about America survival? We need to understand it's up to us. Nobody's coming to save us.
That's, yeah, and that's what people got to get through their heads is it's not going to be a top-down thing. It's going to be incumbent on all of us to get involved, getting involved in government, getting involved in the universities, in the private sector, because, yeah, obviously we tried it with Trump. People say you're not going to vote your way out of this. Surely we're not going to solve it just by electing the right president and expecting everything to flow from the top down. It doesn't work that way. So I agree with you completely. It's a shame because we had an opportunity here. Like you said, we really had a major opportunity. Trump won the popular vote, for crying out loud, on a platform of mass deportations and everything. And what it has secured is a corporate tax cut for the rich, a war for Israel, Epstein cover up. You go, okay, so what are we doing here? What does it profit us actually to even participate in the charade? So I'm interested in a revolutionary change or nothing at all. And I know a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people think that's extreme, and they remind me, yeah, well, you know, if the Democrats get in, then this, that, and the other. I'm interested in either we get the change or we don't. But if the Republicans are marginally...
Well, compromise has gotten us here.
Right, right.
And I respect your stuff is, you know, super accurate, so I respect accuracy. We should still try to think of leverage points. Because Trump did shut up when he kept saying vaccines are great with Bill O'Reilly and stuff until a few years ago, and he finally shut up and brought in Kennedy. They've done some good. He never admits guilt, but sometimes he'll back off. I think we shouldn't give up yet. How do we put pressure on Trump to pull out of this insanity? Because we got to try, even if it's impossible.
I mean, the most you could do is express your dissatisfaction. I don't know that there's going to be a million-man march anytime soon. I think the war is actually, they say it's not that popular, but I think people are apathetic. So what do you do to pressure Trump? I mean, you can call your congressman, and your congressman can take it up with Mike Johnson or something, but I think all we could do is really buckle up, and we could wait for this to wash over us. I think at the minimum, you just make it clear we're not on board. I mean, burn your MAGA hats. I've tried it. You know, I went out to a little bit to Michigan in 24 to try to get people not to vote and try to get some attention. We bombarded Truth Social. We bombarded Twitter. It didn't do any good. They're not listening.
Said then, I want to get good Republicans elected. I'm doing this to get their attention. And they spun it. You were actually trying to stop votes. I got some horrible news for radio listeners. TV viewers just saw it. Just like I said at the start of the show, Trump has now announced forever war. No, we're not talking about a Hollywood movie with Tom Cruise. We're talking about, he just said, 1984 forever war. Reuters. They're printing the article now. What the hell is that, Nick Fuentes? I mean, this is just, it's like Trump is an old barn burning down in lifetime.
Yeah, it's a sight to behold, especially for us. I think that a lot of people got red-pilled after the pandemic. Maybe they don't realize the gravity of this, but this is just like, what else is there even to say? I mean, at this point, this is the same guy that came down the escalator and said, the war in Iraq was a big mistake. We should have never been there. We knew they had no weapons of mass destruction. And now he says, we're fighting a forever war against Iran for regime change. You know, you just have to shake your head, and you wonder how people are still on board. That's honestly the worst part, is you go on Twitter and people are still making excuses. They say, oh, it's about China. Well, we'll wait until there's boots on the ground. You go, really? I mean, I don't know what people need to see for them to realize that we got tricked. We got betrayed. Now we need to try something else. But yeah, it's shocking to hear these things. He goes, I don't have the yips about boots on the ground. You don't have the yips. We're going to deploy to the Middle East again? Seriously? And then they say, we can go indefinitely. We're going to fight forever. Now, in fairness, I think that when he says that, that is rhetoric.
Obviously it sounds strong, but the point is, it's antithetical to what he ran on.
Right.
I mean, because that's what the Pentagon wants, is a 20-year war like Afghanistan that's just a big moneymaker.
It is. It is antithetical. And here's the thing. Trump can gesture and bluff all he wants, but we are in the war and we're getting drawn in. So the problem with those kinds of things is, you know, the Pentagon is going to take that and run with it. You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Let's talk about this. It just blew me away. I mean, the Iranians lost 2 million people. That's World War One numbers in the proxy war with Iraq against Iran backed by us. These people do not fuck around. Yeah, a bunch of high school and college kids are out running around protesting. They're not going to kill people, folks. The Muslims are willing to do it. And they're not the retards like the other Muslims. We'll be right back.
Look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, please come quick. 'Cause I got something to admit. I met a man out in the sticks, a good old miss. He drove a Series 10 Cadillac and wore a cigar on his lip.
You know the devil.
Don't you know the devil wears a suit and tie? So I'm driving down the 61.
So there's a lot of different types of people in the world, but you can really break them into three or four groups. There's a lot of subgroups, but there's people that are just zombies, NPCs, and don't care. There's people that calculate whatever the current power structure is and go along with that. And then there's people that do what's right and don't think about the consequences because it's spiritual ingrained in them to do the right thing. And you gotta have a fourth group that are good but are scared to tell the truth. And you can add a lot of other groups, subgroups to that. But people always ask who pays you, who does this. I sell you stuff straight up, supplements, books, you know, t-shirts, whatever. It's all great stuff. But I love the truth. I love humanity. I am a good person. My ancestors were good. I never really thought until I got older about like measuring up to them. I never really talked about my ancestors because it's like I'm going to live off them, but it's ridiculous. I'm all the way back to William the Conqueror and the old kings of England and, you know, the inventor of the stock exchange and the Greshams just on my mom's side. And then they all got kicked out. So they went to the New World, do their own deal, and the Mayflower, my dad's side, all of it. But I'm doing this myself. This is me. This is my time. Alex Jones did this with you. So I don't live in some class thing where it's off my name. This is a meritocracy. In the meritocracy, I've kicked some ass. And then I look at people in the political system, left, right, you name it, that just go with what will get them ahead, but they don't think about the second, third, fourth order of things. Well, I'll tell you the sixth or seventh order. And in historical mathematics and political equations, politics is math. You got it all together. Doing what's right and not thinking about all the different permutations is the most sophisticated thing and the most powerful always. So I can think through all these levels and get lost in it for hours and do incredible things consciously. But just being good and doing what's right, I always see God's plan in the end was the most advanced thinking. And Nick, I think it's important to state that because I can tell, and I know you're ready for your show. I've seen you ready for it here. You know, you're just reading, researching. Nobody's telling you what to say. There's no handler. When they've sued me, the Democrats and their big law firms, they're always like, who's the boss? Where's the money? Who tells you what to say? They cannot believe for years till they depose the whole crew. Like, who tells you what to say? They don't even get like this is real because for them, they're slaves. It's all handed down to them. Every fucking word they say. So speak to authenticity. If you say what you want about Nick Fuentes, you are your own man. You're not a Fed. You're not controlled. You're your own 26, 27, 28, whatever it is now, young man. And that very idea threatens them that there's so much native talent that God gave us through our species.
Well, that's the thing. They're now trying to reverse engineer me. You know, in the past year, they saw my clips go viral. They saw the show blow up. And now they're all trying to reverse engineer. And they want to say, well, what is the secret ingredient? Why aren't people listening to this guy? And in many ways, I'm sure they did the same with
you. It's authenticity and native intelligence.
Well, they try to characterize it and they say, well, it's cause they're edgelording or they're offering something sensational or it's, you know, all different types of things. And they're always looking at it on the cosmetic level, but what they're missing is that we are real and people can tell. We are trying to do our best. We are trying to tell the truth. We are guided by our conscience and people can pick up on that. You know, you're a live streamer in a sense. You're on radio. I'm more of like a, I guess we're both in live streaming.
No, I've been live streaming since it started, yeah.
But you can't hide. You can't hide on a live stream. When you do a show for 3 hours a day, every day for 20 years, you know, and I've done it for 10 years, there's nowhere to hide on that. Eventually people
ask, how do you have energy? Cause they got to calculate everything in 2 minutes. No, the answer is I don't calculate how I look. I already know what's true. Exactly. There's no energy to bullshit when you're on the air 4 hours a day.
Exactly. There's no pretense. There's no facade. There's nothing like that. And that's what people like. People are sick of being lied to. You know, people are kind of dumb, but they can tell when they're being lied to sometimes. And I think that the basis of our appeal, or at least the reason why we have a fanatical following, people that follow us, really follow us, it's because there is that connection. They're tapped into the same thing that we are.
I think you're right. Overall, you're right. But the big thing is you're right. You've been right like 99% of the time, Nick. That's why they do. I mean, sure, your jokes are funny. You know, you're a good looking guy. You're witty. I edge lord too. It's fun, but it's unscripted. But at the end of the day, it's being right. You would not be successful if you were not correct. That's the final ingredient is being right. That's what they don't like. The bad guys hate the fact that we're smart. We figured them out and we're right and they know it. And if people listen to us, they'll learn how we know. We tell them the secrets, how we know it, and we tell them it's game over. That's why I keep harping. Look how accurate I am. I said Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m., I bet there's a sleeper cell Muslim attack. And I bet it happens tonight, probably Austin, Texas, or Dallas, or Houston. It happened. It just, if people ask, how did I know that? It's just, I can just see all the pieces.
You're right. It's the truth. It's fundamentally, it's the truth. And, that's our biggest secret weapon, I think, that we have.
So where does this go forward? I want to play a few clips of the Zionist Greater Israel. Anything you want to say, just say it now. Cause I've been asked the questions. You're very nice. I've told you to be aggressive like you are on your own show. You're very, very, deferential on mine. But give us 10 minutes of just however long you want. Nick Fuentes Unleashed.
Nick Fuentes Unleashed. Well, to me, this entire debacle with Iran, it has to go somewhere. Like, I'm with you when you say, how do we pressure Trump to stop? How do we, although I am pessimistic that we can get Trump to change course, this does have to give way to something. It does have to generate action. And I continue to believe that the only action that is, you know, really going to work, that is possible, is that we have to switch up the voting. I really believe that. Like, my playbook right now, when I look at this Iran thing, all this does is make me more confident that I was right in 24.
Listen, I love Jim McGinnis, but he said something yesterday very profound. He goes, Trump's got us by the balls. I'm his bitch, basically. Well, I don't want to be in that position.
Exactly. Exactly. So you need options. You don't want to be somebody's bitch. You need options. You need to be able to walk away from the table. And what allows you to walk away from the table is if you have another option. You have somebody else to go to.
And the Republican Party is like a woman. And I don't want to be mean to women, but it's just funny. When you tell a woman, I'm done, you're not in charge, they kiss your ass. As soon as you kiss their ass, you're in the doghouse.
Yep. Yeah, it's a weird psychology. It's any negotiation. Any negotiation is like that. It's all a power dynamic. It's all about, you know, the coincidence of wants. And so they want our votes. We want them to work for us. If they don't work for us, we can't give them our votes. And if we're not going to give them our votes, well, we should just throw them to the other side.
And how obvious is it with Israel? I get Israel swinging its dick around to piss everybody off. But what about Israel bragging they run us here domestically? That's not good. I mean, what's the chutzpah point?
Yeah, so I think that Tucker might be onto something when he says that the reason they do this is because they want actually to bait and incite people to freak out. And then, and there's sort of like a subtle distinction here. Then certain groups can say, oh, there's all this anti-Semitism, and people usually stop there. But you gotta consider, the Jewry in Israel is distinct, although related, to the Jewry in America. The Jews in Israel, I think their desire is to see the American Jews move there. I think their desire is to see American.
Yeah, they see themselves as the Ubermensch.
Yes, and so I think it is in their interest to generate Jewish nationalism, and Jewish nationalism is a response to anti-Semitism.
That's
so
why they Israel put out bombed all the stuff. Baghdad, bombed Madrid in the 50s to make Jews, and blamed it on communists to make them move to Israel.
Exactly, exactly. And similarly in America, all the so-called anti-Semitism is pushing the American Jewish community into the arms of Israel, either moving there or supporting them or, you know, getting involved in activism. So I think to the extent that there's a play there, I think that's pretty clearly what it is. There's a symbiotic relationship.
Well, look at how Israel funds Al-Qaeda, funds Hamas, creates them, all that, the elements running it. And I'm not saying do this because I couldn't do it either, but and the Muslims, obviously, on average, are so emotional, so it's like it's impossible. But if they Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Jesus Christ, Jesus knew what to do. Imagine if no one fought Israel and everybody just stopped. Well, then Israel would just stage stuff and say they did it. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They would just blow stuff up and say they did it. I mean, but what if you could get everybody to stop fighting Israel? That would be the key to shutting it down.
See, I don't know if that's the case. If it's just a matter of getting them to stop fighting, I think that.
No, but you get what I'm saying. They have to, they fund the radical Muslims to get attacked.
Right.
And stood down on October 7th. Obviously, it's academic what I'm saying. It's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I think the solution is that we need a movement that is actually restraining Israel. Like it needs to go further in the sense that.
Yeah, that shows you what they're scared of. They got 20 states or 23 to pass laws that if your city condemns Israel and genocide, they don't get state funds. That's unconstitutional. Exactly. They're really worried about boycotts.
Well, and in particular in the national security apparatus, they don't want anybody in the National Security Council or the Pentagon that is going to tell the president you need to restrain Israel because they're driving the conflict. I said it on my show the other night. If it was up to Washington and Tehran, they would have made a deal because it's in both of their interest and there is enough overlap there. It is Israel that doesn't want the peace. So what's the answer? The United States needs to use its leverage over Israel and say, look, we pay for your military. We protect you from sanctions and from the UN and the rest of it. You have to do what we say. You have to listen to us. You're not going to go into Iran alone. You're not going to sabotage our diplomacy. You're not going to go out there with these provocative statements and threaten Iran while we're trying to make a deal. And if you wanted to actually have peace, if Tehran and Washington were to make a deal, that is the necessary step. As a matter of fact, that's the only step.
Because I said before you came on, I was going to say this and I didn't. Maybe I'll shoot a special report today because I have a lot of sources. I don't want to give them up. But a lot of it came out in the newsletter, so I can say it now. Trump's doing face saving right now, saying, no, I made Israel attack first. Well, the Pentagon's like, no, we didn't want to attack during the day. And Rubio's like, yeah, they did it. Sorry. They're all freaked out about this. I know the chairman told him privately, he came on the news, this is a bad idea, don't do it. We'll follow your order though, sir, but here's, you know, 70% bad options, you know, we say don't do it. Then I confirm with others that Israel basically, Trump was like leaning on not doing the attack, so they did this. Now Trump is face saving because he wants to obviously do that. And that Trump got really pissed off. There's photos of him screaming at Hegseth, who I think overall is a good guy. But the bottom line is that I've confirmed that Israel is basically in control of our foreign policy by our own posture to be allied with them. And that is uncontrovertible because now they're trying to do damage control. Oh, no, Trump gave the order. No, our very doctrine is if Israel's attack, we attack. And so thank God Russia's not following its agreement with Iran or China, or we'd be in war with them right now. So it is a fact. And then the neocons, the Israel lobbies all over the internet attacking anybody that points this out and tries to say it's not the case while Netanyahu brags about it. So, I mean, that's the big news. I'm not even defending Trump. It actually makes him worse that it is now literally true what I claimed, well, I wanted to claim wasn't true because I didn't want to believe it, that Trump is an errand boy of Israel. And how do we deal with that, Nick Fuentes?
Well, if Trump is an errand boy for Israel, then you got to shut down his government. And that means you got to go into the midterms and you got to get the Democrats in. And the Democrats hopefully will impede the administration. That's what they're going to do. They're going to launch investigations, subpoenas, select committee, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to grind it to a halt. And, you know, if Trump is an operative of a foreign government, consider that he's forfeited his entire mandate. because his whole basis of support is that he's America first, MAGA. He's not like the other politicians. Okay, well, if you're an errand boy for Israel, if you're a puppet of the Jewish state and you're bringing us to war for them, that's not like a small thing. That's not like a little bit of foreign aid. We're going to war on their behalf. He has to be opposed. And a lot of people don't want to take it there for one reason or another. But, I don't know what the option is. I don't know how you work with that. If you're America first and Trump is Israel first, well, that's not exactly a divide that can be bridged. There's not actually a middle ground between like
prioritizing Israel. Give you the good news. From my sources, there are many Pentagon, White House, you name it. This is a firestorm. Trump is really pissed off. He doesn't even know what he thinks. That's why all these messages. Notice the last few hours, the messages are all schizophrenic. And have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, all over the media.
So that's good news, at least. I think we've got a... what would you... I'm telling you, Trump will end up probably seeing this. Because they respect you. I've met with them and stuff. I've told you off record. Like, they've said the algorithms. They're paying attention to you, son. And I mean that in a nice way. What would you advise the president to do right now?
Well, it's tricky because we're in. So, you would have said never go in, but we're in now. Now that we're in, I think you got to hit Iran really hard and then try your best to leave. But, again, it's like I said before, Israel's going to want us to push deeper and deeper into this until we have a full-scale regime change.
And then we win, put assholes in to do it again.
Right, right. So you got to back off. You got to let the Iranian regime reconstitute itself and restore order. Because if the Iranian security architecture is not going to rule the country, then who is? There's nobody else. So it's
like that's what Eric Prince said 2 weeks ago. Same thing.
Everyone has. I mean, it's just obvious. This country has 90 million people in it. Their economy's already collapsing. If you don't have the IRGC running the country, it's just going to be a failed state. Unless you have an alternative, which they don't, so that's who's going to prevail. And so you need to just...
So it's a war crime to go wreck this state if you don't have an alternative.
I think so, yeah. I think so. This is shaping up to look like Syria or like Libya. One of these places where it's like the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, because who's then going to provide all the services and the goods and who's going to provide for the logistics and infrastructure, security?
Well, I've seen Israelis on a bunch of interviews say, we don't care about the Iranians, screw them, wreck it. We can't be part of something like that.
Well, and this is the Jewish holiday of Purim. I believe it was yesterday, Purim, which commemorates the victory of the Jews over the Iranians, and they celebrate their victory by killing 75,000 Iranians, just on account of. They already won, they already got their guy, and they just killed a bunch of them anyway. So they view them as the Amalekites. And the Amalekites kill the women, kill the children, kill everybody. That's who we're dealing with here. And people say it's the Khazar Mafia. People say it's the Masons. This is out of the Old Testament. This is out of the Talmud. It's Jews. It's Israel. And that's what they have in store for the Iranians. They love, just like in Gaza, they love to see it. So.
All right. I had like 50 clips and I should have played this with you, but Nick, things are quick and you got to come back sooner. I'll come on your show if you want. You got to come down to Austin. You're dead on. You've been totally vindicated. My respect level wouldn't be higher. Here is. The former Israeli prime minister, total Rothschild operative, Naftali Bennett, just days ago saying, when we're done with Iran, Turkey, who has the biggest army in Europe, this just shows the Israel project. Like I said, I told people Saturday, I said, it's the next country, the next, and we're supposed to now go to war with Turkey. I mean, this is bullshit. Play that, and then go to the clip of, I want to get your take. I heard you talked about it on your show. I saw you, but Huckabee going, yeah, Israel could take it all. I mean, and half the countries are allies of Israel. This is like, yeah, I love my neighbor. He's my friend. I'm going to eat him next week. Here's the clips.
A new Turkish threat is emerging. I want to be very clear. Turkey and Qatar have gained influence in Syria, are seeking influence elsewhere and everywhere throughout the region. And from here, I warn, Turkey is the new Iran. Erdogan is sophisticated, dangerous, and he seeks to encircle Israel. And while some senior Israelis were on Qatar's payroll, Qatar and Turkey are nursing
with Turkey to overthrow
the Islamic Brotherhood monster that is growing and eventually might become as dangerous as the one created by Iran. Turkey and Qatar are gaining influence not only in Syria, but also in Gaza, through the front door.
If Israel just stopped now.
And everywhere, and trying to create a new
choke. They can be successful, they're not going to stop.
Turkey is trying to flip Saudi Arabia against us and establish a hostile Sunni axis with nuclear Pakistan.
You've appealed to Genesis. Genesis 15 says it's Abram, it's pre-Abraham, it's Abram, receives from God the news that his descendants will inherit the land. And you tell me as the theologian if I'm getting this wrong, but from the Euphrates to the Nile. I think that's right. And that would include like basically the entire Middle East. That would be the Levant. So that would be Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. It would also be big parts of Saudi Arabia and Iraq. It would be, I mean.
I'm not sure it would go that far. I mean, it would be a big piece of land, but here's the point.
It would be a lot of places that are now countries.
I love how you rubbed
this particular area that we're talking about now.
Fuck this.
Israel is a land that God gave through Abraham to a people that he chose. It was a people, a place, and a purpose. We can look at it that way. Christian Zionism. I want to go back because that's where we started.
I'm not going to let you off on this because you have
said
it three times that God gave this land to this people. And so it is entirely fair for me with respect to ask, what land are you talking about? Because I just read Genesis 15, as I have many times. Mm-hmm. And that land, I think it says, from the Nile to the Euphrates, which is, once again, basically the entire Middle East. So God gave that land to his people, the Jews, or he didn't. You're saying he did. What does that mean? Does Israel have the right to that land? Because you're appealing to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're saying that's the original deed.
It would be fine if they took it all.
Play that again. Back it up 10 seconds. So they were, here's the deal. I can do the math. I can talk for 10 hours on this. They attacked Saudi Arabia, Jordan, all these places. I mean, we already had Obama put radicals in to take over Egypt. I mean, this is cuckoo town. Play it again. He's like, yeah, they can take it all. They will take it all. This is, and we're supposed to be the muscle for this. Folks, here it is.
Because you're appealing to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're saying that's the original deed.
It would be fine if they took it all.
But you want us to do it, Nick Fuentes.
That's exactly right, and it doesn't stop. And everybody thought it would stop in Iran, and now they say, well, we're going to take out Erdogan and so on. And it just goes to show that's their end game, is they want to control the entire region. They want no rivals. And that's why they took out Iraq, Syria, Iran. And now, what's actually funny, in their quest to destroy Iran, they've actually rallied everybody against them. So Saudi Arabia was getting ready to join the Abraham Accords in 2023 when October 7th happened, and then that derailed the process. Now the Saudis are working with Pakistan on a mutual defense pact. They're bringing Turkey into it. There is actually an emerging axis that is literally being built.
Israel blames Iran when Saudi Arabia is clear. It's what Israel did.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, of course. It's always Iran. It's always, you know, then it'll be Erdogan in Syria. And it's funny because they took out Syria. Now they're worried that Erdogan is going to fill the power vacuum that they created. So
and they worked
they
with
the
him passively to take down Assad.
Right, right. Exactly. So,
We got 45 seconds left. Are you gonna do a show tonight?
I'll be doing a show tonight, yes.
When do I get to go on your show? I wanna come on.
Soon. See, I don't have a big studio like yours. I have a small studio.
I don't have enough room. You gotta start doing them.
Yeah, I know. I just like to hear myself talk more. I guess.
No, I get it. It's easy. Hey, listen, you're dead on. I wanna try to figure this out. Nick Fuentes. On Rumble, Nick J. Fuentes, thank you so much. I hope you're wrong that Trump's unsalvageable, but we're about to find out. Thank you so much for being with us. Powerful hour and 45 minutes.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, there goes Nick Fuentes. By the way, Nick, don't hang up. I want to say bye to you during the break because I'm going to invite you to host the show for like a day, whenever you want. That'd be cool. You want to host the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Don't hang up. I got to do one thing. I'm not plugged one time today, but I'm doing it right now. We got a big sale. It runs until the 17th. Up to 40% off on the methylene blue, all the products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not funded by Israel or Qatar or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you. These are great products. They really work. They are amazing. I want to thank all the listeners. I'm just trying to stop nuclear war. I'm just trying to promote freedom in the West, Christianity, and that's where we stand. And I am funded by you. You know who backs Alex Jones? You. You back us. Your word of mouth, your prayer. You're buying the products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All of the great Patriot apparel, all the great supplements, they are incredible. Everything I sell works. I would never sell you something that doesn't work. I told you to get into silver 2 years ago. Look where it is. Take action now, TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, Harrison Smith is about to take over with the War Room straight ahead. Be sure and tune into that at InfoWars.com/show.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from TheAlexJonesStore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at TheAlexJonesStore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.